Coming up on TMS, what do you do when you have your first migraine?
Pooping out 200 Christmas cards is not easy.
Get kicked out of your favorite steakhouse because you got a beanie on your head.
Sir, I think my meat might have been in that guy's pants.
No relation. Ace Frehley had a fire.
The desolation of box office success.
The Judd sisters just can't get along.
Aw, fitness geek.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I hope Popeye enjoys dining by candlelight. Oh dear, he's here already. Oh, Popeye, quick! Sweet Pea's playing with matches!
Oh my gosh!
Oh, Sweet Pea isn't hurt!
Playing with matches is no game. In this but a loinia that fire can boil you, says Popeye the Sailor Man.
The Elevator Man.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Stream, and this is my boomstick.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream.
Wow.
I have a headache. Ugh, and it won't go away. This is like, I'll tell you about it here in a minute. And you'll commiserate with me, Ryan. Feel for me.
A little apathy is
what
you're looking for.
I'm looking for apathy. I'm looking for not so much sympathy, because, you know, that's different. We all learn in school those two things are different. Some people think they're the same. Mm-hmm. They're not. They're different.
No, they're quite opposite.
Yeah. So we'll get to that in a minute. But welcome back to The Morning Stream, everybody.
Empathy, I think, is what I meant to say. Not apathy.
I think you meant empathy.
I did mean empathy.
It's all right. It's okay.
Empathy and sympathy, quite opposite.
Yeah. Now, you could have said empathy. No, what? So there's another one. Empathy? Impotence. Nope. I don't know what I'm saying. Forget it.
No.
It's the headaches I'm talking. It's Tuesday, December 17th, 2013. And look, if you were going to do your 12 days of Christmas thing, whatever your little thing was, you're too late.
Oh, really?
Well, it's already going, right? Aren't we almost?
We've got to be. Yeah, we're like in the eighth day till Christmas, right? It's Tuesday the 17th.
Yeah, and the first time ever, not ever, but in the first time in a long time, we basically lost a week between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Right.
So it's all rushed. So all these people saying, don't play Christmas music until 2 days before. You know, you curmudgeons out there, you had lost an extra week this year. I think it's fine that people started playing more Christmas music, you know, shortly right around
Halloween.
Those people that started the 4th of July weekend. Come on.
Because it really was a breakneck pace of like, all right, and it's Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Yeah. This whole year, it was Halloween, move! Anaheim, come back. Start building the studio. Still kind of moving things. It's snowing now. It's freezing as hell. Scott's having emergency eye surgery out of nowhere. It's just constant nonstop.
Yeah.
And I think that might be why I had, for the first time in my life yesterday, and I still have kind of some residuals from it, a full-blown migraine headache.
Yikes.
Now, the kind that I've only heard tale of, only heard whispers of and rumors of, where it's so bad that you have to go in a room, lay in the dark, and put ice on your head, and nobody touch you or go near you for 2 hours. That's what I had yesterday.
Oh, my God.
And I started kind of feeling it during the show. Kind of a weird, I don't feel, something's up with my, you know, I just feel a little dizzy, a little, not like an aura, like people are like, oh, I always have a little vision before I have it or whatever.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that, but it was kind of this slow burn, and I had a ton to do yesterday, so I was hunched over my drawing tablet most of the day trying to get work done, and it just kept building and building and building, and I don't think the new eye is helping because my brain's still getting used to it, still trying to adjust to its new vision length and, you know, all that. So all of that stuff combined, I feel like it just finally, you know, crashed around me, and about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I had to give up and just go lay down. I couldn't do it. Still was just like a little fuzzy, a little hurty, a little whatever. And some, oh, here's the other thing I've learned about the internet. You know, the internet's got a lot of ideas. it wants to tell you to do things, right?
Yes, lots of information offered.
For
better or for worse. Yes.
Yeah, both passively and actively. You can go look for stuff, or it can be brought to you if you have any sort of following on Twitter or whatever. So I made the comment last night that I go, big bad migraine. And immediately I am bombarded, Brian, with probably 100 replies that say drink caffeine. That always works for me.
Really?
Or, and another 100 replies that said, don't drink caffeine. It will make it worse.
Yeah, that's caffeine dehydrates you, and I don't think you want to be dehydrated.
No, you want more water in you.
Yeah.
I think. But that's what I'd always been told, but then everyone's like,
every malady seems to be cured by, well, you're dehydrated.
Yeah.
You need more water.
You need more water. I hear that all the time. And I peed. I had to get up and pee like 3 times last night because I was drinking a lot of water. But the thing with the caffeine is, I get that it works for some. It obviously must, because Excedrin migraine medicine is a lot of caffeine. Like, a ton of it is caffeine. So I've been able to sip a Coke with a regular headache before, and that kind of seemed to soothe things a little bit. So I get it. I understand that caffeine might play a role in all that. But the dichotomy, though, was so extreme. It was half of them going, you must drink caffeine! Ingest it no matter how you do it, you know? And then right. The other half are going, don't do it!
Drink a Jolt Cola, quick!
Yeah, as fast as you can. So it was an annoying day, and I had so much to get done, and I still didn't get it all done. And by the time I kind of crashed, I was like, well, there goes my Monday. That was dumb. I did recover enough toward the end of the night so that I could watch the final episode of Battlestar Galactica, this for the second time, with the kids. We've been doing, you know, we have this slow little chewing away of the 4 seasons over the last couple of few months.
Oh, what a night.
And
oh, not those 4 seasons.
No. And my daughter bawled at the scene where, is that a spoiler this many years later? It probably doesn't matter.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, someone died. Okay. All right, here's the vagary. They're in a ship. There's 2 people in a ship. They're old. One of them's got cancer. And she's dying. So she dies. And then the other old person is sad for a minute and sheds a couple of tears. You might remember him from Miami Vice, let's say. There's your hint. And that made her bawl her eyes out. So that was sad. But I still, so this is the thing I'm left with at the end of that thing. And I won't get into too many specifics here because, again, if people haven't seen it, you probably should see it. And we love this second viewing. You got so much more out of it because there's things you just didn't figure out the first time or notice, or you couldn't keep the sixes apart. Like, which one's Caprica? Which one's not her? How many boomers are there? You know, like, you start to, when you have a show, you have a bunch of clones of people. It's easy to run out of knowing who's who.
Right, yes.
That's not really a thing to run out of, but I said it anyway.
But yeah, no, basically it's hard to keep track of, all right, now is this the one that was originally on the ship? Is it one that has no idea who the heck Starbuck is?
Yep. Is this the more blonde one than the other one? Right. Kind of sandy blonde? Like, it was hard to keep track.
Yes.
So, but there are a couple of chicks in the bucket from FilmSack in that show. Okay. Big ones. And I would just say, what happened to Chief Tyrrell? And what happened to the threes? That's all I would say.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they are. They just, I don't remember noticing this the first time through, but maybe it's because I saw them all back to back like that. Galen Tyrrell, played by Douglas Adams, who looks like a young Brian Dennehy in everything he does. Poof, gone. They don't explain it. They don't talk about it. They don't say nothing. He's there the episode before the last one, and then he's nowhere to be seen for the entirety of the second episode, or the final of the three-parter. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know where he went, and it's bugging the hell out of me. So if anyone out there has a theory, get back to me. Let me know. All right. Anyway, that's so I'm just curious. I'd like some emails from people that you tell me what you do to deal with a migraine. I hope to never have one again and not put myself in a position where I have to. Hopefully my new eye takes and there's none of this like weird, because I can feel the dissonance in my head. I can feel my brain going, every once in a while I'll go, oh, wait a minute, this isn't right. You didn't see like this before. And it gives me a little bit of a pinch, you know, like a little pinch in my eye. So all I'm saying is I'm going to try hard not to have one again. But what do you do at home when you have a migraine? How do you deal with it? I stuck my head in ice a lot. That seemed to do pretty good.
In fact, head in ice?
Yeah, like a bucket of ice.
Really?
Kim made a big bowl. Big, huge bowl of ice water with ice in it like floating ice chunks.
Oh my god! And like you're bobbing for cubes.
Yeah, and I go. I went over there.
I can't even imagine that like the shock to your system that must give you.
It does. A little pee comes out every time you do it. But when you put your face in, you have to do it fast and furious. Just whoosh, and then dunk it out and pull it out. And after you do it a couple of times, you kind of are used to it, and you kind of crave it because it feels so much better than the headache.
Wow.
So I recommend that. But are there other home remedies, folks, things you do? Smear a little peanut butter just below the nape of your neck. Stick an entire butter stick up your rump. Like, what do you do? How do you deal with your migraines? People want
to
know.
Curious to see. Email us in or email themorningstream@gmail.com and tell us what you do for a migraine.
Thank you. We appreciate that. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Maybe part of the headache was cranking out. I helped Kim did most of the work, so I shouldn't take any credit here. But she cranked out 200 plus Christmas cards yesterday.
Wow.
Hand signed, hand enveloped.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I said, honey, we should just do like mail merge. Like it's 1995 in here. We can do this. And she says it takes away the personal touch.
Aww.
And I'm like, I know, but a ton of these people are like AIE officers and dudes what I do business with, and you know, it's not like they don't need that.
They'll appreciate the handwritten note.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny, we did about 40 in it, and coincidentally we did them yesterday as well. Mm. But we don't do any handwritten notes except for maybe a couple for the people that we don't really get a chance to talk to every year. And
sure.
It's basically our chance to say, we should do something this year. Yeah. Signed, Brian and Tina.
Yeah. So while you guys have perfectly working hands, Kim has a big gnarled up claw that she now calls a hand that she wrote with all day yesterday. She did it over a couple of days' time. But we are so pleased with this year's cards. I can't be happier.
And I saw the photo on Twitter or someplace.
It's Instagram or something.
You guys, you're just such a cute family.
Such a bunch of goofballs is who we are.
You are, but you know, you're a very handsome family.
Oh, how lovely of you to say. But yours is in the mail. You'll get it probably in the next day or so because you're just in Denver.
It better have a paragraph of...
I drew a penis, okay? That's all. Perfect. I just drew a big penis. Right in the inside. You just check that out and you'll be happy with that. Anyway, that's a lot of work, and I highly recommend not doing that. And that's all I got to say about that. Yeah. Let's call Daryl
now. You know what some people do, which is, you know, you send out the physical thing to the people who appreciate the physical card, the physical photo, family, grandparents, whatever, and then everybody else email that photo.
That's not a bad idea. I didn't think about that. That's what a lot of people, but don't you always feel like, I got a couple of those from people who I think are pretty good friends, you know?
Yeah. I got one from Lynn Peralta yesterday. I'm sure you did as well.
I did. Lynn was one of them, and I saw it and I went, oh, well, I'm sending him a real card.
I know. And it's funny. It arrived exactly at the same moment that I was emailing him to say, hey, let me get your address.
Yeah, exactly. Right around then. I did the same. Actually, I think I already had his, so we were already set, but I said, as soon as I got it, there was a piece of me, a little devil on my shoulder was going, hit the spam button. But the other part of me said,
it's more Kickstarter spam.
Exactly. from Len. He's got another Kickstarter going. But I saw it and went, but my little angel on the other shoulder, who other than little constipation is actually kind of a nice guy, my angel guy on my shoulder's all right. He tells me good things. He says, no, he's got 7 kids over there. He's got a lot going on. The fact that you're getting an email is a huge deal alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Just imagine the house, the management involved in trying to just run things. So there you go. 7 kids, right? They have 7?
They have 7 kids, yeah.
Good Lord. One of them's 19, one of them's like 2.
Their Christmas photo, Christmas drawing looks like a school photo, right? Like a class.
Yeah, like a whole class did it.
Here's the teacher, and here's the teacher's assistant, and then here are all the students.
If they could do, I mean, Lynn or Nora could do like a full-on homeschool, like an entire class.
Good, actually, yeah.
She'd need her own budget and district. She'd need that stuff.
She could totally do that.
Good luck to her, though. It sounds like a lot of fun. Him, her, and Lynn, and happy Christmas to them as well. All right, so we're going to do this right here. Oh, that ring must mean something. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
We need your help to upgrade from 35mm film to a digital package. That's a very attractive package. Please help save Roanoke Cinemas from going dark. Roanoke Cinemas has been entertaining our community since 1979. However, in 2014, all major movies will be made for digital cinema packages, so theaters around the country are being forced to upgrade. Roanoke Cinemas is currently using the old 35mm film projectors and will need to convert to a DCP projection system or its doors will be closed forever. Yeah. We're using Kickstarter to do this. First goal, $65,000, and all that money is going to go towards new projectors, new screens, and a new sound system. By the end of this year, no more movies will be available in the older film-based version. Please help us provide entertainment for our local kids and families. The URL is... it's a Kickstarter. kck.st/1f83b5w.
We're gonna fix that. Give them a short. Tiny URL that up.
Because I think I just heard somebody in the tadpole go bingo.
Yep, bingo. Got it.
If your license plate is 1f83, your lights are on.
Yeah, we'll hook you up. Don't worry. On the phone with us, we have somebody who no longer has much food in their GI tract. It's Daryl Skeels, everybody. Welcome back. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Yeah, so yesterday was the big day. Daryl went in for his colonoscopy.
Yes.
He got the ye old camera tube up ye old poop chute. And listen, you handled it quite well, I have to say. You seem to be all with it. And was it as bad as you thought it was going to be?
Oh, no. The worst part of it was drinking that horrible stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that part's bad.
You know, I might be game for a semi-colonoscopy.
I'm getting my colon pal done later this winter. So when you go in there, let me ask you this part of the equation, because we know about the horrible drink part and the whole preparation part, and that's the worst part for sure. Everyone says that. When you go in there, though, is it straight up like, here's a gown, the back's open, lay sideways on this table, you may not remember any of this? I mean, is that pretty much the procedure?
It's almost as if you've done this before.
I haven't, no. I can only assume. I had a hernia thing a few years ago, well, many years ago, and they made me drink the drink and do the deal. And yeah. I think I laid on my back because they were just pushing on my gut and stuff and checking scans for, like, looking for things, but... I don't remember it being all that bad, that part. But the prep part is the worst part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're all right.
Yeah. I actually liked
burp, beep.
I want to... Beep. I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but...
but keep, by all means, keep doing it in beeps and boops. I like that it's like robotic the way you're reporting. It's fantastic.
I got the most restful rest that as I... than I've had in a long time.
You mean like sleeping last night or laying on the table?
Laying on the table, because they put this thing in your arm so that they can plug you into the liquids.
Oh, right.
Which knock you out.
Yeah.
And I was going to try to stay awake and fight it and just as a mad experiment.
Yeah.
And and it was weird because I felt my arm get cold, so I knew that the stuff was starting to go in.
Oh.
And then I started to feel really, really heavy, like somebody was turning the planet's gravity way up.
Oh, weird.
And then I was out.
Like you're on Jupiter all of a sudden? That's great.
Yes, exactly.
So, all in all, though, and they came away, and they can tell you now, like they don't have to take weeks to process results. They tell you right then if they've found any problems or whatever.
And they say, if you want, we can not sedate you, and you can sit here and watch the whole thing and just walk out of here and not be asleep or anything if you want.
Yeah.
But I didn't want that.
No, you don't want that. You wanted to fight it and feel heavy. So good, though, but no polyps, nothing weird, no findings, all is well.
Yes, all was perfectly well.
That's good. That must be a nice relief. What was the first big meal you ate? What did you decide to eat?
A whole bunch of different kinds of cookies, pizza.
Oh, that sounds so good when you have that done.
Everything
sounds
you
like a Jenny
have.
Craig commercial.
I can eat whatever I want, and I'm right, still exactly. losing weight. Well, good, Daryl. I'm really happy to hear all these things went through, so to speak, and that you're back. So let's get straight to your trivia question. Let's see how this has cleared your mind for trivia in Star Trek.
Right.
This will be an interesting experiment. In the Next Generation episode, Interface. No one runs Interface on the football field, and nobody causes Interface on your radio. It's called Interface. Geordi uses a virtual reality system tied to his visor inputs to use a probe in areas too dangerous for anyone else to go to. In the opening episode scene, we see him exploring a ship. He tells Data he is picking up some fumes in the ship. He then lists various chemicals. Which chemical does he not list in this opening scene? Yeah. Does not list this chemical. So here are your options. A, chlorine. B, ammonia. C, fluorine. Or D, potassium chloride.
That's that's that stuff I drank.
Yeah.
Potassium chloride. That's funny. That was one of the things.
I wonder if that's why he threw that in there, if that's just coincidence.
By the way, that drink, is it still like a... When I did it, it was like... you know the... what's it called? The chocolate milk that's strawberry flavored with the rabbit on it?
Oh, Quick?
Quick.
No.
It's not like that?
It wasn't like that.
When I was young,
I was like a kid.
Was it like
Pepsi without extra carbonation and extra water, like basically syrup, Pepsi syrup?
Well, it was like they took Pepsi and let it dry out and ground it up into powder and added plastic and things like that to it.
You know, you'd think, as far on as we are technologically and biologically speaking, we may have come up with a better way to make that taste better. You know?
Can we make a better barium?
Yeah. I mean, come on now. It seems crazy.
Well, it's not really barium. It's just like sodium and potassium things.
Mm. So it tastes like a banana, a salty banana then, right?
No. That would be good.
That was my wrestling name in high school. The salty.
Salty potassium?
Yeah, no, salty banana is what they call it.
Salty banana.
Yeah, the result was salty potassium. Well, Daryl, there's your question. You'll be thinking about that while we do a thing that probably, I have to think you're okay with this, right? You can eat stuff. You just can't eat greasy things for a couple of days or something, right? Is that the deal?
Oh, that didn't stop me. I ate all that crap anyway.
Oh, okay, good. Well,
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Let's get to it. Oh, by the way, for those who remember us playing this before.
Computer, fix the food slot. The food slot is functioning properly.
This coming weekend, we have a Film Sack episode that's a live commentary track of a TNG episode that features that clip. So, Evolution from Season 3, Episode 1.
Fix the food slot.
A very bad, very bad episode of Star Trek. And we do that one next week on Film Sack. Next Sunday night, likely, is when you'll get it. Okay, Daryl. What are we doing? Oh, yeah, let's taste test. So we have in our hands the cherry pie, ripe, rather. Jeez, why do I say cherry pie? Cherry ripe. This is from Australia.
She's my cherry ripe.
And we're going to follow it up with whatever flavor of extra gum you got that's like foreign extra gum.
Dessert delights, yes.
Never had this in my life. They don't make these here. At least not that I've ever seen. I've not seen dessert flavored extra gum anywhere in the States that I'm aware of.
No.
I could be wrong, and someone will tell us if we are, but there you go. So we're going to, I think we do the... Should we do the gum first? That way we're not...
No, you should do the... whichever the case is, we're going to be spitting out the gum. We're not going to sit here and be doing the rest of the show.
No. You're a good point. All right, so let's do the cherry ripe then.
Okay.
I don't know what this is. Is it ripe?
It's good, actually. It's like a cherry mash covered with chocolate, dark chocolate. I've had this before, and it's fantastic.
Does it have coconut in there?
It's like it's a cherry mash, so I think there is coconut, but it's... Hmm. Yeah, but it's so cherry-fied.
Cherry Mash. Yeah. Starring Gary Berghoff as Walter O'Reilly. Okay, that's all right, but it reminds me of the texture of coconut, which I hate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's basically a cherry almond joy.
Yeah, I can't eat almond
joys. Or cherry mounds, really.
Thank you for that, but I will not be finishing that.
I like cherry mounds, and I like coconut.
Yeah?
But I don't know, there's something...
There's something too Australian about this.
A little cough syrupy about it.
Mm. Everything's going to taste weird for you for a while because you got sodium chloride in your system still. Or whatever it is. Or potassium.
I think that's gone now.
Oh, good. Yeah, you think everything's gone now after that. Woo! Okay, now we'll follow it up with... we'll wash it down with extra dessert delights. Mine is sugar-free gum that is... what's the flavor here? Lemon square. So obviously she was thinking of me.
Mine is rainbow sherbet.
All right.
Mine's root beer float.
Oh, I love that. Whoa. All three are different.
Yeah.
All right, so... Ooh, it smells like them.
Totally does,
it's really weird, yeah. It's like
jelly
bellies of
gum.
All right, here we go. Wait, there's a hair in mine. Okay. I think it was my own hair.
Mmm. It tastes like pork chops with mashed potatoes and real gravy.
Are you turning blue now?
Hold on. Here comes the dessert course.
I hate that part of that show or that movie.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I don't like it. I don't like how she acts. It's her acting. I don't like.
Oh.
Mm. You know, this is weird.
I met her and she was a wonderful person.
Was she?
Mm-hmm.
What does she look like now?
She's very, very skinny.
Really?
Yeah, to the point where I think, I don't know what,
I like that guy.
It might be MS or something because she's,
oh, see, was,
she's
she
walking around on crutches and,
oh, she's only in her 50s, right?
No, I would say
60s?
60s, yeah.
That sounds about right. Because that was 72, was it? Or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. She would have been 10 or 11 there. Oh, gosh. That's really good. I'm going to have to chew that later.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I didn't think I would like a dessert-flavored gum. I am a convert.
No, that's not bad at all.
I'm a convert. What's wrong with me? All right. You know what I need to be told sometimes?
Shut up, fool!
All right, fine. Thank you, Mr. T. All right, Darryl.
I'm bummed to have to spit this out so soon because it's so flavorful.
I agree. I'm going to keep mine in my little... I'm going to eat it later. I don't have a problem with ABC gum. Put it in a little temporary wrapper here and I'll chew it again.
Put it back in its little foil container.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. All right, Darryl.
That was good.
You got a birthday to celebrate your day after the colonoscopy?
Yes.
Tell me it's somebody on an episode where there was a deep space probe involved.
Well, probably.
We're going through the wormhole.
Oh, I hope there's no worms in there.
No, there will not be. Are not any. I just dropped it.
Okay.
So hold on. Go ahead.
Jerry Finnerman was the director of photography on TOS. He died 2 years ago at age 79, so that's a pretty good run.
That's not bad. Yeah, as runs go, that's not bad. Could be worse. Mm-hmm. Could have been, you know, a lot younger than that. So good job to him, and congratulations on mediocre directing of photography. Well, I mean, you know, it's Star Trek. It's styrofoam caves and bad sets. So it's, you know, it is what it is.
Oh, he photographed.
He was in charge of shaking the camera. Sorry, go ahead.
He photographed them just fine, though.
Yeah, he seemed to.
He did.
The other thing is,
he's in charge of shaking the camera and saying, okay, everybody fall to the left. Now fall to the right.
They didn't seem to. They needed him on that TNG episode we watched, Brian, because those guys were all out of sync.
Yeah, especially the guy flopping on the floor like a dead fish.
Dr. Kelso, head of surgery.
Dr. Kelso, it is totally.
What a weird thing that was. All right, Darryl, back to your question. You know the answers. Decide which one. Is it A, chlorine, B, ammonia, C, fluorine, or D, potassium chloride?
Well, I can easily see the first three all floating around in the atmosphere for Geordi to see.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to imagine butt juice flowing around in the atmosphere.
Oh my God. I unplugged my headphones because you made me laugh. Okay, I'm back. Shite. That was funny. Butt juice. Don't want to see that floating around in space. If 2001 A Space Odyssey taught us anything, it's that. I'm sorry, Dave. Yeah, anyway.
I'm going to have to choose that.
You're going to go with potassium chloride. All right. Well, let's find out. This is one that was not in there. Let's find out from the judges. Is that correct? Oh!
What? You mean that's... They were breathing that?
Sure. Fluorine. Well, the form you have is some liquefied, specialized formula for butt juice. This is like a different floaty gas kind. Fluorine, he says, is the answer. He does not list the chemical fluorine when he's talking to Data in the episode. Geordi tries to use this interface to explore the HSS Hera, which went missing years earlier. When Caprica 6 and Gaius Baltar stole her. And the ship was, let's see, the ship of Geordi's mother. Here's a clip of Geordi and Data talking about the chemicals in question. Here you go.
Geordi, have you found it yet?
Not yet. I'm starting to get some fumes. Ammonia, fluorine, potassium chloride.
Hey, Fry, think fast.
Wait.
He said fluorine.
He said fluorine, didn't he?
Yeah.
The audio just said fluorine.
Yes. But he play said, one more time?
But he said here.
He didn't say chlorine.
Okay, I'm going back. Hold on. Here we go.
Hey, Fry.
Wait.
I'm starting to get some fumes. Ammonia, fluorine, potassium chloride.
Did he say chlorine?
I think you said fluorine.
I think maybe Daryl or what's his beak screwed up.
Mike Boyd, Mice Warm.
Mice Warm. You may have messed that one up, buddy. I'm not sure. He put fluorine as the answer.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, we're on the fence. Judges will have to work on this one overnight, and there'll be some meetings, and we'll let you know in the morning how that goes.
Exactly. If things work out, we'll bring back Daryl tomorrow to take another swing.
Yeah, we'll get another shot, plus the third question. All right, Daryl, you've done fine work here today, and I'm really glad that your tests were negative. For those who – he wasn't worried, guys. It was just a preventative, like, you know, checkup-y thing.
Exactly.
Which is what we all should be doing at his ripe age. So when we get there, we'll deal with it. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter, the Trek Nerd, also on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Daryl, you got a little fun question for us of some sort?
Well, I didn't have time to put together a good one, so we'll just take what's here. Okay, let's do this one. Is this a Star Trek thing or a candy bar?
Again.
Love dungeon.
It's a love dungeon. A Star Trek theme or a thing?
Thing.
Okay.
Star Trek thing or candy bar.
Got it.
Yes. And it's another cluster. It's Doria's cluster.
Okay.
What cluster is it in?
Doria's cluster.
Doria's cluster?
Yeah. And not Doritos cluster, Brian. We've had those. the Doritos cluster. I'm going to say Star Trek as well. Yeah. I think Star Trek.
Wow, you're good at these. Yes, that's what it is.
I can't imagine a candy bar called the
Doria's
cluster.
I keep waiting for the Goo Goo cluster.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm waiting for.
Then I would know that's not a Star Trek thing. Right. Very nice, Daryl. Thank you so much. Hey, look, everybody. It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Prolific Games. They're back on Kickstarter with Tricked Out Hero. A trick-taking dungeon crawl game. We're almost funded, so come join us and get tricked out. That's Tricked Out Hero on Kickstarter.
All righty. Sounds good to me.
Yes.
A cancer patient named Robert Chambers was kicked out of Morton's Steakhouse. You ever been to a Morton's?
I don't think I've been to a Morton's. I've been to a lot of steakhouses, but I don't think I've been to a Morton's.
I've been to one once, and I couldn't even tell you where it was. It may have been California, but somewhere.
Into a lot of chop houses, a couple Ruth Chris's.
Yeah.
What's the seasoning company?
Ruth's Chris's.
Ruth's Chris's.
I hate their name, but those steaks
really
are amazing.
Name.
Oh my gosh. Best steak I ever had was in one of those. It was amazing.
The seasoning company. There's a big thing in Chicago. Big steakhouse.
Big steak. Sizzler. No. Sizzler. Sizzler.
Seasoning
the
company. I think that begins with S. Oh, geez.
Not Outback.
Right, I'm sure somebody will tell us in the tadpool in about 5 minutes because of our big, long delay.
Texas Roadhouse here is really good.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, Texas Roadhouse as well. Yeah. Landry's? I have been to a Landry's. Lowry's.
Lowry's.
Yes, Lowry's, Lowry's Steakhouse.
We can agree, though, that Ruth's Chris's is the hardest one to say. I don't like the name.
Yeah.
But, man, when I was in Hong Kong, I never had a better steak than the one I had there. They had one there in Hong Kong. And it was
really?
Amazing. When we were in Tokyo, I had Kobe beef, which is illegal here or whatever. But over there, you can have it.
Is it illegal or is it just expensive as hell?
I think it's illegal.
Wow.
Something about the way they raise the cows or something.
We talked
about this before about how it seems better to me to raise them in stirrups and play, you know, classical music and feed them the best oats and beer and things. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, there's something like that where it's banned or something. I don't know what the deal is. I'm no law expert on that particular meat law, but that was amazing. But for whatever reason, the steak I had at Ruth's Chris in Hong Kong just killed them all. It was so good. I don't know what happened there, but man, I don't know what it was. Maybe I was just sick of all the Chinese food we were eating and that's why it was amazing. I don't know. It's the same reason the McDonald's in Shenzhen, China was the best McDonald's I've ever had in my life.
That's crazy.
It's so
good. I think the best steak I ever had was at Landry's in Dallas. There's a Landry's right by the stadium, and I was there doing some stuff for the Dallas Morning News, and they took us out. They said, hey, you want to have the best steak you'll ever have?
Mm.
And so after work, the ad director and the marketing director took us out for steaks at Landry's, of course, on the Dallas Morning News' dime.
Yeah.
And it was the best steak I've ever had.
It sounds really good.
It was really good, yeah. That's one of those places where if you want anything else with it, it's like an extra purchase. Like, your steak doesn't come with baked potato or salad or anything like that.
Oh, right. That's pretty traditional that way.
Exactly.
No combo meals here, basically.
No. It's, you want a baked potato? Great. That's another $7.95. You want asparagus? Great. Yep. Here you go. That's
Yep. Chat or Irony Man thinks I'm talking about ducks or geese or something. No, I don't mean that. It's the Kobe beef thing is something's illegal about it. I don't know what it is. I can't remember. Anyway, back to the point. Cancer patient was in there. Morton's.
In a Morton's.
He got kicked out for wearing a beanie on his head.
What's wrong with wearing a beanie? Okay, well, let's get deeper into the story.
Should we find out? All right.
Yeah.
Morton's Steakhouse is coming under fire on social media. That's where everyone comes under fire now. For allegedly kicking out a cancer patient at the restaurant's Nashville location Friday after he put on a hat at the table. The patient, Robert Chambers, was attending a Christmas office party held by a Tennessee shopping channel where they host a show called The Coin Vault. I host whenever I bend over to pick something up, I host a little show of my own called The Coin Vault, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
After dinner, Chambers felt cold and put a beanie on his head, which was apparently in violation of the restaurant's dress code.
Okay, so it's like one of those knit caps, like a like a toque, basically.
Yeah, like a toque.
I was picturing the one that looks like half a beach ball with a propeller on the top.
Oh, right. Like a cartoon one. Yeah.
Yes.
I was thinking more like a Jewish yarmulke kind of thing.
Oh, sure, yeah.
The chemo I had last gives me cold sensitivity at the end of the day. It doesn't matter what I've done. There's a certain point. I don't know what he means. Chambers told the NashvilleScene.com. So I'm sitting there at the table freezing and I put my toboggan on. Now here in the Western United States,
that's
a thing you slide on. Yeah.
Right.
You get to the top of the hill in a toboggan. You don't ride down a toupee down the hill. All right. Or a hat. What is wrong with you people?
That is weird. Yeah.
Where two or three, he says, this particular treatment I'm having also makes me confuse sleds with hair pieces. We're 2 or 3 minutes away from walking out and the manager comes up behind me and says, would you please take off that in the dining room? And I said, sure. But now everyone's freaking out and getting behind this guy and thinks that they are wrong to do that. Here's the thing. Do you make exceptions for somebody because they just happen to be going through cancer treatment, or do you apply the rule of no hats to everybody?
I think it's silly to have a rule of no hats. I think, you know, if you don't require a hat, if you don't, you know, if it's an issue of being cold, like if he had been going through the chemo to the point where he was bald and obviously, you know, was having the hair loss due to cancer treatment, they wouldn't have said two words to him.
No.
They wouldn't have said one thing. You know, I think if you go into a restaurant and you don't have to wear a hat, take your hat off. But if you're, you know, if you're cold, why can't you put a hat on? I think it's ridiculous.
Completely agree. Because
they won't make a woman take her wig off, right?
Right. And it's a steakhouse. These places are supposed to have peanut shells on the floor and cowboy hats on the dudes. And
I don't know about that.
All right, maybe not. But, you know, a Roadhouse does that. Peanut shells everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
I don't like the feeling of standing on them.
Yeah, that's. I don't think you can walk into that place if you've got an allergy, peanut allergy.
No, that and Five Guys, burgers and fries, big giant peanut nightmare.
Yes.
In fact, I don't think you can drive by that place without having a reaction if you're allergic to that thing. Jeffrey Arthur Feehan. That's a great name.
People are asking if in Morton's Steakhouse, can you dance if you want to?
No. But you can't leave your friends behind. It's a give and take.
Well done, people.
Jeffrey Arthur Feehan. It always sounds like a serial Feehan. Killer name, doesn't it?
Yeah, right.
Shoplifted some meat in his pants. they caught him, and the store went ahead and resold the meat.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, that deserves a Mafia Sopranos Oh!
I completely agree. Shoplifter has pleaded guilty to stealing meat by putting it down his pants, but customers at the same store may have a beef with what the business did with the recovered roasts.
And I'm guessing HuffPo.
Oh, you'd be shocked to find out that it is the HuffPo. Jeffrey Arthur Feehan, age 29, pleaded guilty on Tuesday to charges that included stealing $71.32 worth of meat from two grocery stores in the Canadian town. Oh, where there's no crime? I thought there was no crime in Canada. What's going on? People stealing things? Of Charlottetown, this part of Prince Edward Island, employees at the Atlantic Superstore, that's the name of the place, watched Feehan put food in a basket, take it to the bathroom where he stuck it down his pants. This is according to a blog called Dumb as a blog.
Dumb as a blog.
Why give credit to that?
You've got to feel really, you know, all of a sudden, oh, all right, my article is being reprinted on Huffington Post. Uh-huh. So now everybody is going to know the name of my blog is Dumb as a Blog.
Dumb as a Blog. Brilliant. Prosecuting attorney Valerie Moore said Feehan's food thefts were characteristic of a recent trend where addicts steal high-value food items and then exchange them for drugs. However, she was shocked that the Superstore employees put the stolen meat back on the shelf to be sold. That sounds strange, she said in court. They must have been well wrapped in plastic given they were down his pants. I would add to that, in near proximity to his penis.
Yes.
To his addict penis.
So that's her defense was they must have been well wrapped in plastic given that they were down his pants.
She's thinking that that's how they justified it. I think that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think you know what you do? If you're not worried about it, you give it to the employees and say, here you go, guys, free beef.
A little Twin Peaks stinger there?
Yeah.
You got one?
I have that wrapped in plastic? I might. Hold on.
How was that meat stored, Scott?
The meat that was in the guy's pants?
Yeah, how was it stored?
Wrapped in plastic.
That was how. There's a long road getting from there to here. hey, HelloFresh sponsoring the show today, and I got to tell you, we got a bunch of tweets coming in of people who've gotten their boxes since we last did a show, and people are very, very pleased, as they should be. HelloFresh.com making this amazing stuff. We've eaten one of them. We've got two more to go. I think we're having one for lunch today. I would have had it yesterday, except that headache was killing me. So I didn't eat anything, really, most of the day, but... This one is awesome. I love it. And the steak one I had was amazing. And people are really excited about it.
I can't wait. I hear that there might be one on its way.
Yeah, tomorrow, right? I think so. I think Wednesday for you.
Cool.
HelloFresh.com is the place making cooking fun again. They create the recipes. You pick what you like. And they send those exact farm fresh ingredients straight to your door. You make the thing in 30 minutes or less. And they're all over the place. UK, Netherlands, Germany, Australia, and of course the States. If you're in an area where they're not yet, don't worry. They're working on it. And if you are in that area, an area that they serve, you can use this code for 50% off. That's MorningStream50. MorningStream50. One big long code, easy to remember. MorningStream50 for 50% off all first-time customers.
That's a great deal.
It's a hell of a deal, Brian. Mm-hmm. People should check it out today. Oh, I was late with this. Today.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
All right, it's time for Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by...
The Rebirth of Current Geek, supported with Tom, Scott, and friends. Launching in January, currentgeek.com for details.
Today at 2 o'clock...
Is this the Hangout?
Yeah.
Cool.
Google Hangout today at 2 o'clock Pacific time. That's 3 o'clock Mountain time. We'll do a Google Hangout. I don't know where I'm posting it, probably just on the Google page, but I'll watch Twitter, Scott Johnson and Ace Detect on Twitter, and we'll let you know when. And it's really just kind of Q&A, what our plans are, why we're bringing it back, what we envision, maybe a hint as to who our first two Frog Pants-centric guests will be. I wish one of them was Brian, but he's going to be in Las Vegas.
I'm going to be in Vegas, yeah. Alone, accepting our awards.
Accepting all the awards.
For the morning stream.
I think we're going to win every award in there. I really do.
Do I have to accept them for Tom as well?
You have to accept them for everyone.
Are there some Twit awards that I can run up there and take away from Leo and say, this is for Tom.
This is for Tom Merritt, everybody.
Oh, my God. How much?
Moment of silence.
How much do I want to do that?
Let's see what Leo does. Oh, my God.
I can hit him with a drobo.
I've got a couple of drobos. Anyway, it's going to be cool, and I know we're going to win everything, but then we'll do this other thing. But don't worry, Brian. I think Brian will be maybe our very next guest.
I will be happy. I'll let you guys, you know, test the waters with a Terpster or a Dills or a Nicole Spag or whatever.
Right.
And then once you guys have everything figured out for the next week, then I'll come on.
Yeah. And we even have a way of it. We have this cool idea. We'll talk about it today more, but we have this cool idea of integrating Forecast into the mix.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. It's kind of an edge sideways kind of way, but it's cool. I'm excited about it. Anyway, cool. ex Kiss guitarist Ace Frehley, as I would say as a kid, Frehley.
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 Frehley. He was the spaceman.
Spaceman,
right?
Yep.
Yep.
Which was the dumbest of the things.
No. The cat was the dumbest
cat was the dumbest of the things.
Sorry.
You're right.
Peter Criss had Ace Frehley beat.
What was
Although,
his...
really?
Yeah.
You know what? When you think about it, all right, so the demon, perfect. Great choice.
Yep.
Then I would put your spaceman. Then I would put your star love dude.
your
Paul Stanley, whatever his was. Yeah. Star on the face, whatever. Uh-huh. And then at the bottom, I'd put Peter Criss. So yeah. I think spaceman is still better than.
And who do they have take over when another guy took his place? A fox.
That's right.
Right? Wasn't it? Like a fox or something.
Yes.
What are they doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
What does the fox say? Goodbye, Peter Criss. That's what he says.
Don't let the door hit you on your way out. Here's some drumsticks you left behind.
Yeah, take these. That song, Babe, that was terrible. Wait, was it Babe? Or am I thinking of Styx?
You're thinking of Styx. You're thinking of Beth.
Beth. I knew it was a B word.
Yes. Star Child. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Star Child.
Star Child.
Come on now.
Anyway, his New York house burned. Big fire damage.
Yikes.
According to the Journal News, firefighters came to the house in Yorktown Heights on Saturday morning after receiving reports of smoke coming out of the roof. And let's just say it was different smoke than's usually coming out of there, if you know what I'm saying. Freely did not appear to live in the house at the time. He bought this in 2006, though the Red Cross was called to provide emergency shelter for an unidentified resident, later known to be Peter Criss. Lenders initiated foreclosure proceedings on the house earlier this year. Apparently he's not keeping it up, nor is he paying his bills, and it caught on fire. So that is the life of Ace Frehley in 2013, everybody.
That sucks. On their first album, they had a song called Firehouse.
Oh gosh, really?
All the fire brigade. Yeah. Get the firehouse.
They changed their name. In reaction, Paul Stanley says we're going to change the name of their Lick It Up album to Put It Out. So now it'll be called Put It Out.
Nice.
Put it out. All right. Here's the other thing I got to say about Kiss.
Okay.
That show they did, the TV thing. Do you remember that? There was like a single episode, like TV movie,
like a variety. Oh, the Kiss versus the the amusement park demon or something
like
that.
Yes, and they all had powers and
Phantom of the amusement park.
It's amazing. It is so. It's so good.
Tell me we can film sack that.
I don't know where that would be right now. Where can you stream that? I wonder. Can someone do some digging? Chat room, we need you for this.
Kiss meets the Phantom of the Park.
Yeah.
Phantom of the Park.
It does not look like it's on YouTube. Like, you know, sometimes you can see the whole movie on.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Watch Kiss meets the Phantom of the Park free online. Let's see what you have to do to watch it free online.
Oh my gosh.
It's available on Amazon, but I wonder if it's available on Amazon Prime.
If it's on Prime, we're in. If it's not, we're out.
Yeah, we've got to make this happen.
Yeah, I agree. That'd be awesome. Oh my gosh, I loved that when I was a kid. I thought it was so cool. It's not, though. It's not cool.
No, I think it was filmed at, what's the one in California? It's Magic Mountain, if I remember correctly.
No, that might, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. People, if anyone in the Tadpole has a second to look this up, I'd want to take all the time in the show to go search for.
You can't stream it on Twitch, they say. So, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know why this irritated me earlier when I said something about how the worst place to ever tell me anything important or that needs action is to do it on Facebook Mail because I don't check it.
Really?
Yeah, I never check my Facebook Mail, ever. I mean, once in a while, I'll just run into it and go, oh, there it is. But it's not a place to, like, if you've got something important for me, do not try to contact me that way because I just don't look at it. It's just not a thing I do. I have too many other mail sources, Brian. I got 15 emails as it is.
Yeah.
Twitter. Right. And if you count everything all together, it's just I just don't check it. Well, somebody on Twitter goes, people still use Facebook? Do people still do that? Yes. 1.8 billion people use Facebook. 2 billion are signed up. Billion use it actively. Yeah, it doesn't seem like anybody does it. Like an entire 1/6 of the world's population uses Facebook. I don't even like Facebook that much. I'm not defending it, but don't act like nobody's using it. I hate that kind of smug kind of internet response to everything. Like,
now, Friendster, on the other hand.
People still use Facebook. Yeah, they do. By the millions and millions to the scale of a billion. All right. Check this out. Speaking of the desolation of smug or smog. Mm-hmm. Smaug.
Smug. Smaug.
How do you pronounce it?
Well, it's supposed to be pronounced smaug. It's really funny, though, hearing, you know, every once in a while I go upstairs for lunch, flick the TV on, and it's during that fourth crazy hour of the Today Show with Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Oh, yeah.
Swilling their wine. And they were talking about having Benedict Cumberbatch on as a guest and say, from the new movie, The Desolation of Smaug.
Well, I know there's a lot of controversy about it as far as how to pronounce it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. People make fun of it. There's a pretty good... Let's see if I can find this. Let's see. Scott Kurtz, PvP Online. You know him.
Yeah, yeah.
He put up a funny vine of him trying to pronounce it. I got to see if I can find it. Let's see. Because we can play it right here. Let's see. Here you go. How do you pronounce Smaug? All right? Here you go. This is him trying.
Behold the desolation of Smeared. Smarg. Smog. 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 Cut! Behold the desolation.
That's pretty good, right? Anyway.
That's awesome.
Nobody knows how to do it exactly, but the film earned $73.6 million in the U.S. Per final numbers of the weekend box office announced by studios Monday. Though it took first place, The Desolation of Smaug fell short of the prequel's debut, The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, which opened the same weekend for 84.6. I actually kind of thought this one would do better because a lot of the critic buzz is much better on this one. You haven't seen it yet, right?
No, huh? No, seeing it on...
This weekend.
Saturday morning with the Mayus.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah.
We're saving it for Christmas Day, we've decided.
Oh, nice. See, that's a good one. We did that with Thanksgiving and Hunger Games.
Yeah. Still haven't seen Hunger Games. Everyone in my house has seen it but me. I don't know why. Let's see.
Shame.
I had to watch the MASH movie to get my Donald Sutherland fix.
Oh, nice.
See that.
This is not a army hospital. It's an insane asylum.
You know, that movie's really good, but it's so not like the show.
No, it really wasn't. Very, so very different. Yeah.
As a kid, it put me off, but now I kind of appreciate it.
Yeah, I think seeing that after you've seen the show.
Yeah.
Was that my microphone or your microphone?
What, did I make a noise?
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh. Did I clear my throat? Like,
no, it was like it was a microphone noise. Like, oh. Anyway.
Just like that?
It's irrelevant now at this point. I think seeing that movie after you've seen the TV show and you've fallen in love with the TV show makes it a lot more palatable than as an introduction to the TV show.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I like them both now. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate it. Sure. Just as you get older, you get more mature and you appreciate things that only your parents would have liked back in the day.
Yeah.
Robert Altman movies being one of them. Let's see. So the sequel earned $135.4 million in international sales in select markets, so that did pretty well. Germany and Korea, which passed the international sales of the opening week last time, so it's still doing well globally. In fact, globally is the way you do all this. You know, it's pretty much the business. $209 million globally so far. So there you go. Good on you, Hobbit.
Nice, well done.
Finally, Ashley Judd accuses her sister of Winona Judd, you know, the bigger one, of spying on her with a GPS tracker.
Actress Judd accuses country singer Judd.
Right, that's what I meant. Star Trek episode with the cones and the rods and the discs and stuff, Judd accuses the manly Judd of spying on her with a GPS tracker, and that's all I'm going to say. Those two just don't get along now.
Wow, it's crazy.
Yeah, conspiracies and paranoia, and she's tracking me with a GPS tracker. What? It was kind of Walter White style, like sticking it on Gus
really
Fring's
like
car and like that.
Yeah, like clipping it on the inside of the car.
Yep. So that's going on.
That's funny. Every once in a while, I use, because Tina's phone is on my account, I'll figure out if Tina's on her way home so I can wait for her for lunch, like if she's on the other side of town.
Right.
But I'll pop up and is that GPS tracking? Am I?
Mm.
I don't know.
I like that, though. I'd like to find.
Nice. I'm just waiting for her before I start eating lunch, but
maybe that's
maybe
all
I'm
the judge
do
doing.
That anymore.
Yeah, maybe Winona's like, I just wanted to go to lunch with you once in a while.
Exactly.
And she said, I'm busy being in a film. Not really anymore. I'm not really doing much, but yes. Is old lady Judge still around? She's doing things?
She's with the race car driver, right? Oh, you mean Naomi?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just trying to remember if Ashley's not with Michael Bolton anymore, right?
No.
They're split up.
Yeah, that ended.
She's with a race car driver?
Yeah. Well, I'm hearing that one song in my head when you say that.
Ashley's a race car driver.
I miss those guys. Are they still making music? Morello and them? Yeah.
I don't know.
I like Primus a lot back in the day. Yeah. Yeah, Ashley Judd, she went from being in like big movies like Heat and
Kiss
the Girls and High Crimes. Was High Crimes a sequel to that? I think that was. Yeah, it was. Did you know that? Kiss the Girl was with Morgan Freeman.
Right, and it was one of the Patterson novel.
That was the 14th time I'd seen that episode of Star Trek with Ashley Judd. she's but since then, I mean, I guess she does other stuff. She was in Olympus Has Fallen. Hold on.
It's funny how you go to IMDb and look at Ashley Judd's resume or her page on there, and the four posters they show are all so very similar.
Yep.
Like, it's like two faces facing away from each other.
Yep. The blues and oranges.
Right. It's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Oh, she's doing a bunch of stuff right now. Wow. She just finished The Identical. She's in post-production for Divergent. And there's she's in the process of filming Dolphin Tale 2 and Big Stone Gap.
None of these sound like mainstream films.
No, they do not.
Well, good luck to her. Tweaked Audio is sponsoring today's program. If you want to listen to your let's say you got an iPad and you're sitting in bed and you're like, I'm gonna watch every Ashley Judd movie ever made, and I'm gonna do it all in a row. But I really want to hear it well, and I don't want other people bugging me on the outside.
Sure. Sure.
Hot damn, man. Have I got a deal for you. TweakedAudio.com will make the earbuds you want. Get the many colors and the many styles and choose which one's your favorite. And then listen to the movie that way, or music, or talk, or whatever. They're all engineered for durability, noise reduction, and all come with a lifetime warranty. That's TweakedAudio.com and use code STREAM at checkout. That's 33% off your next pair of earbuds at TweakedAudio.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the Fitness Geek, Jury Dirty,
Jury will be dirty.
Dirty, dirty, and more. But before all that, some sort of tune thing, Christmassy deal. What do you got?
Yeah, let's do a little Christmassy tune. Right. And rather than pick one individual Christmas song to play a cover of, how about let's just do a cover of all of them? This is by Stephen Colbert. Yes, the Stephen Colbert.
I know this song suddenly. I knew I'd heard it, but when I saw the name, it wasn't ringing a bell, and now I got it. I got it in my head.
Right. He recorded this for iTunes back in 2009, and it is just a great commentary on Christmas music in general, and it's damn funny, and it's Stephen Colbert. What more can you say? I'd say let's get to it. It's another Christmas song by Stephen Colbert.
All right. Don't forget, it comes with his
infamous twerking video.
So get the two-for-one deal on that. It's another Christmas song. Everybody, we'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Ho! It's another Christmas song.
Whoa!
Get ready, brother, for another Christmas song. They play for a month ad infinitum. One day it struck me, someone must write them. So, it's another Christmas song. Santa Claus singing on naughty snow. Reindeer ringing in the mistletoe. The manger's on fire, the holly's aglow. Hear the baby Jesus crying, ho, ho, ho. Hey, it's another Christmas song. Yay, another oft-returning, royalty-earning Christmas song. I've got plenty more, so go buy a modem. Log on to iTunes and pay to download them. Hey, for another Christmas song. Chestnuts glisten on a silent night. Sleigh bells kissing by candlelight. The tree is frozen, the winter's bright. Who'd have thunk the wise man looked so white? You, don't you wanna sing along? To my humble Yuletide, dreamed up poolside Christmas song. Make it a part of your holiday canon. Make it the heart of my retirement planning. Do sing another Christmas song. Beat it into a fellas. Watch my feet fly! But wait, who's this? Young one starving on a dead-end street. Taped up tabloids on their frostbit feet. Hear what they carol as they huddle for heat.
Please help the Colbert children eat.
Whoa!
Just another Christmas song. No! like no other Christmas mother loving song. Public to whom I'm so proud to have pandered, please save my family and make this a standard. Go join the ever-growing throng who are singing and swinging while my kids are clinging to the hope my register's ching 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 from the cash I bring it from another Christmas song. Copyright Stephen Colbert.
Nice car. Should we borrow it?
Nah, that's stealing.
Come on, I'll ask for permission later.
Looks more like you're asking for trouble now.
Tracks! I figured I wouldn't get caught.
That still wouldn't make it right. Think how you'd feel if someone took your car.
Pretty lousy.
And if you got caught?
You could end up in jail.
Remember, taking something that isn't yours just isn't right.
It's stealing. Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
The Transformers!
This new cool and creamy pudding is not pudding.
This is the morning stream. It's just what the doctor ordered.
Ordered. Hello, everybody.
Get out of me.
Get. I will crush you. You're in my crotch. Hey, we're back. Hello. Hello, everybody.
Oh, hi. Oh.
I love that song because it's dead on. Like, yeah, it's straight totally up, is. Like...
royalties and...
Yeah.
Right.
They're not messing around.
Yeah. And it's got a very Seth MacFarlane feel to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'd say that's true. Yeah. Very Seth MacFarlane-y. Who, by the way... Oh, I got a recommendation.
Yeah?
So if you haven't watched the 10th season, or what Netflix calls the 10th season, but really it's just the 7th season if you don't count the movies and stuff, but the latest episodes from the final bits of Futurama, okay? Brilliant final season, by the way. Everyone's a winner. Every single episode is hilarious. Some of their best work. I'm going to miss that show horribly again.
Yeah.
But there is an episode on there called The Game of Tones. Okay.
Okay.
It's obviously a play on words.
Already liking it.
It's already good. But it's more of a parody of Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Okay.
And it is
Tones.
Brilliant. It's so funny, and the reason you reminded me of it is because Seth MacFarlane does a quick voice cameo on it in a very appropriate moment, which will make you laugh. It's really, really good. It's one of those ones that's hilarious, thought-provoking, science. They play with science big time. I love when they do that, messing with time and space and stuff. Because even though it's a big parody, they're actually talking about really interesting kind of sci-fi tropes, and I love when they do that.
Yeah.
So that part's really good, and it's kind of touching. It's kind of got this really kind of sad ending that is that again made my 16-year-old daughter bawl her eyes out once again.
You just like showing her stuff that's going to make her cry.
I kind of do. In a world where people are so cynical and so hardened and so unemotional anymore, there is something I crave in watching her respond emotionally to things that are truly heart touching things. You know, like. It's nice to see that can still exist and maybe even thrive in today's closed down, cynical, you know, hide all my emotions kind of world we live in.
Is there a movie that'll make you cry?
Yeah. You want to hear one that made me bawl like a baby?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Couple of them. As an adult.
Steel Magnolias.
Here's my adult ones.
Steel Magnolias better be at the top of your
list. It's not up there. That's not a movie I cried in. I cried as an adult in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
That movie really got me for some reason. The first 10 minutes of Up just about killed me.
That was the one. That was the one I was looking for because that's the one that did it to me.
Yeah, that got me bad. The last 10 minutes or so of Toy Story 3 got me.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm trying to think of another one here. There's another one. Oh, a DVD viewing of Powder.
Really?
Yeah. For whatever reason, whatever mood I was in, I can't explain to you why. I actually don't think it was even appropriate. That movie got me. Got me. Even though I know director's like some weird pedophile now, and there's all these like weird controversies about that movie, the story itself totally got me. Can't explain it. Anyway. But mostly Up. Up's the big one.
Up was the big one for me, too. That was next to next to Reggie.
Oh, gosh.
And my balling was nothing compared to
Reggie.
Happened with that poor guy.
Reggie's an emotional dude.
He is. He's a very emotional
dude. Have you seen his little baby lately? So cute.
No, I need to see jump on his Facebook and see his photos.
Adorable little guy. Totally cute. All right, we're going to call Bill. Hello, Bill. Hey, Bill.
Bill.
Let's get Bill on the phone.
We'll talk about some
Oh, it's Bill.
Don't worry. Sean Patrick Flannery makes me cry, too.
Oh, does he now? That's great.
Mostly when he's making a really horrible Irish accent.
Hey, chai.
You need to see the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
That's right.
Yeah.
Tear-inducing.
Hold on. You're not saying Sean Patrick Flannery was in that, are you?
He was Young Indiana Jones.
He was?
Yeah.
What?
He's been Indiana Jones more than Ferris
That's
Ford.
That's right. Yes.
Ferris Ford.
Wow.
And River Phoenix combined.
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there he is.
He's also a jiu-jitsu expert, and he was also in the Boondock Saints.
Yeah, no, he was the older brother, right?
Right.
And then you had Daryl from Walking Dead was his younger brother.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Hold on, let me just see that real quick. Yeah, that's right. Oh, weird. I did not know he was young Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Bring him back for old Indiana Jones. He looks fine. Look at him.
Yeah, really? Sure.
Yeah.
He'd be okay. Well, wait, there's one shot here I'm not sure about. I didn't realize he was Powder. To get back to the point here, I didn't know that he played Powder.
Yeah.
I really liked Powder, you guys. I know people don't like Powder, but I really liked Powder. People give it a hard time, but something about Powder got to me. Maybe it was because Bishop was in it, Lance Hendrickson.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a rule about him, that I like him in everything he does.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, Bill.
Yeah.
What's going on, man? How are you? Merry Christmas as we hurtle closer to the big day.
Oh, yes, definitely.
How's how's your fitness world going during the holiday so far?
I think it could be worse.
Mm.
So that's good. You guys,
no better thing to begin the season, the holiday season. Well, this could be worse.
Yeah, it could be a lot worse. First of all, the migraine thing, right? You said you had a migraine yesterday.
Yeah, bad.
Yeah. Oof. See, I will get one maybe every couple of years.
Mm.
Right? And I can tell it's not just a headache.
Yeah, it's something special. It's exquisite.
Yeah.
It's not even the pain. You know what it is? It's not even just pain. I wish that's all it was, because I think I could deal with that. It's a weird overall kind of, you can't think exactly right. Your voice is coming out funny. Mm. Like, remember on the show we talked about a lady who got up on a radio, or no, a TV segment.
It was a TV
segment,
interview Oscar thing.
And she just lost it. And everybody thought she was having a stroke or something, but it turned out to be a migraine. And a side effect is this, is it can affect your vocal centers and all that.
Right.
That's the kind of feeling I was having. It's more than just, and you're kind of panicky about it, and you just feel an overall anxiety about it. It's worse than just a straight up pain.
Yep. So it's only happened to me a handful of times, like I said, every couple of years, but I know, I remember when I've had them. I specifically remember they're that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it'll happen in the middle of the night. I'll wake up and my brain is just on fire.
Yeah.
Now, kids, drugs are bad.
Yeah.
But the pain in my brain is so bad that I'm starting to make deals with myself, which are totally impotent, right?
Yeah.
I can't. But I'm like if someone had heroin here right now and they told me it would work, I'd probably take it.
Somebody,
it's that bad.
Somebody could. No, I agree with you. That's when it gets that bad. You are in a position of I'm going to take whatever it takes. Yeah. I'm going to smoke that crack if I have to.
So what I do is Excedrin. It's got the caffeine in it. Caffeine tends to work for me. And usually it'll take enough of an edge off of it that I can hopefully fall back asleep. So
right.
That's what I do.
And then that'll kill the rest of... It's interesting you get them in the middle of the night like that.
Right. Yeah. And it's like I said, it's only happened a handful of times, but it is agony.
I mean, imagine having to be on a plane or on a cruise ship or in public or in a line somewhere and have that hit you. And I know people who this happens to on a regular basis, and man, I feel for them yesterday. Ugh.
That's what when I hear people like Veronica was saying, she's been having them constantly. I'm like, I would just hide in a cave. That's what I would do.
Yep.
I get a pile of Excedrin.
Yeah, yeah.
Go in a cave and just sleep it off.
Well, I'm just going to play this clip so people know what we're talking about. This lady. She's on Channel 2 Live somewhere. I don't know what market it is. And she has what she referred to as a really bad migraine right as she was filming. and it made her goof up. She had to keep the face. She had to keep the presence. I my hat is off to this lady. I just want to hug her for what happened. But here's how it went down.
Lights and backstage coverage were seen for the very first time. Saree.
Well, a very, very heavy rotation tonight. We had a very Darrison fight. Let's go to Terry's and look for the bit. They had the.
Oh, that poor lady, dude. And you can see it in her face. So she's keeping a smile on. She's talked about this since on other shows and stuff.
Yeah.
She's keeping a smile the whole time, but you can see in her eyes that she knows that A, she's in terrible pain.
Yeah.
And B, that this is going no place quick.
Or and she did manage to get her hand on some heroin there.
Could have been that.
Maybe it was a preemptive, let's take the heroin before the headache.
Anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to derail you.
No,
but,
that's cool.
Yeah. So anyway.
So my wife, Brittany, is working hard at work. She's doing 12-hour shifts this week.
She works at Bungie, right?
Bungie, yeah. On their Destiny, what comes out next September.
Hey, you like that Twitch? We're talking about video games here on this show here. We're talking about video games. So, keep going. So she's working late. Destiny, got it.
They're trying to get a build done before the Christmas break there. And she's working her butt off. So she leaves in the morning, comes home, goes to sleep, wakes up. So I see her for about 10 minutes every day. But this puts me in a problem spot, right? Mm. Because I'm no longer like making dinner for the both of us. I could easily fall into that bachelor lifestyle where I'm like, oh, I'll just order some food. Yeah. I'll just go out. Or if you can call people, they'll bring you food, right?
Yeah, pizza and stuff.
So I told myself, I'm like, no. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that the week before Christmas because I'll probably destroy myself that week. I'm going to be good this week. So this is what I'm doing. All right. I got to go shopping. Any guys out there suddenly find themselves thrown back into the bachelor lifestyle. You got to go shopping. You got to go stock up. And my goal was to make sure that I always have something healthy on hand. So when you say, oh, I'm hungry, and everyone does, that's where you open the fridge and you look in the fridge and you're like, none of this looks any good. And you shut the door and then you go eat a handful of candy or something, right?
Yeah.
Avoid that. So what I did was I made, a big old pot of chili, right? Mm. I kept it lean with ground turkey. I put a little ground pork in there. It's really, really good. It's super lean. It's got veggies in it. So that's sitting in my fridge right now. And if I'm getting hungry, I can just go spoon out a small bowl of that, microwave it up, boom.
Yeah.
I got a nice, healthy dinner for me.
Nice.
Oh, very good idea. Yeah.
That's
not bad. It's better than driving in and out again or something,
It is totally the thing. Like, you'll go and it's like, oh, I'm craving such and such. We don't have any. So I'm just going to, eat a handful of banana split Oreos. Oh, that didn't do it. Darn it. Now I need something salty to balance that out. Let me go.
Yeah. And the real killer, too, if I order a pizza, is I'm going to eat the whole friggin' thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I do go out of my way and you're like, oh, whatever, we'll get a pizza tonight, honey, and a pizza shows up, at the very least, we split it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I ate half the pizza, which is still too much pizza for one person to eat. But with my wife around, if we each eat half the pizza, I'm not eating the whole pizza.
Yeah.
You know, it's damage mitigation.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can't call them and just order half a pizza.
No, they don't do that. Don't they still? So who used to? Was it Pizza Hut that had the personal pan pizzas? Remember those?
Yeah, but I don't think they deliver those.
They don't do that.
Like five of them or something.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do that. I think they just straight up don't deliver those. Yeah.
I bet if you order enough of them, they deliver. I bet it's a cost issue. Yeah, I bet if you said, can I get five personal pan pizzas? I bet they would do it. But if you said, can I get a personal pan pizza delivered? They'd be like, yeah, no.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to do a little experiment while we're on the show here. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is just for funsies. I'm going to call a Pizza Hut and say, can I order multiple delivery style? How many personal pan pizzas do I have to order to get them?
I say, here's what you start at one and you keep adding one until they say, okay, we'll do it.
Now. Okay. Yeah.
All right, I'll do two. Right. Two? No, okay, I'll do three.
let's just call this local Pizza Hut. It's in Salt Lake City.
You've got to do an East Coast one, right?
Well, yeah, are they not open this early? Is that Pizza Hut's someone's there making cheese or something, right?
9:30 in the morning.
Huh. All right, let's see what we get. We don't even get a voicemail or anything. I just thought this would be a fun idea. So, yeah, I think you're right. They're not going to be there. So, yeah. If we do Pizza Hut like Chicago.
We're not home. We're not home.
Let's see. Let's call Chicago. We'll try that. Because why?
Still
not?
Only 10:30 in the morning.
Is it? Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
Well, where should we do it? New York?
Yeah, did you like New York or,
All right. New Jersey. How about that?
There you go.
Okay. So, in New Jersey.
What do you want a personal pan pizza for?
There's a place called, there's one. All right. So the 609 area code, if you live there and you're listening to the show, congratulations. All right. Why didn't that work? I don't know why. So let's just try that out. Okay, great. All right. Here we go. Let's call that. This is in Union Station, New Jersey.
Oh, they're really busy.
I believe. Oh, no. Absensicon? Yeah, something like that. If this doesn't work, we'll give up.
I'm going to be speaking the keynote at Absensicon.
Good morning, Gala Pizza. Dad speaking.
Yes. Do you guys do you deliver personal pan pizzas? And if you do you have to order a bunch of those, or is that just not an option?
Well, we start delivery at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
We do take delivery orders, but the minimum order has to be $12 for the product.
But you could do a bunch of personal pan pizzas, and that'd be okay?
Correct.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. Awesome. Well, we'll call after 4 o'clock then.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, sir.
Bye. Nothing. All right.
Do you deliver to Utah?
I made that part up.
Do you deliver to Salt Lake City?
I should ask that. All right. Well, there. The big question of our generation has been answered. Will they deliver personal pan pizzas?
I'm just glad you didn't freak out when he answered and hang up. Oh, shit.
Like the other day. I couldn't help that one. That one was weird. We got to call that back for the show, I think, tomorrow.
It was
maybe
a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, that was really odd. The whole thing weirded me out.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, it's the most recent film sack with Chud. We call a company that does funny answering machine recordings. You know, explaining that, it sounds a lot more dissonant than it really was.
Yeah, for real. It was it was an odd experience. Go listen to FilmSack and see what you think, but
okay. It
was a good laugh anyway. All right, Bill, back to you.
One more thing, yeah. We'll refocus. Here we go.
Yeah, back to the...
All right, so the other great thing, big deal thing, is having something in your fridge to drink that isn't gonna set you way back, right? Now, usually I always have my fridge like Coke Zero, because it's, you know, there's no calories and it's carbonated, so it fills you up. And I also have a jug, like a water filter thing in there all the time, so that you're not, again, it's to avoid going into the fridge and just being like, well, I guess I'll just have a giant, you know, Coke or something.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be diving into the fridge anyway. Just have something in there that I'll just have one of these. Or at the very least, I'll just pour myself a nice glass of cold water.
Wow. That sounds good right now, in fact.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And keeping it cold is a key here, because you don't want crappy tap water, you know?
Yeah. So true.
Nobody wants that.
And then for breakfast, I always have oatmeal on hand. That's great, because you just need to put water in it and microwave it.
Yeah.
How many times are you like, oh, you know what? I'm going to be the big boy now. I'm living essentially by myself. I'm going to make breakfast. And you open whatever you want. And it's like, oh, you need milk and an egg for that. Oh, well, I don't have that.
So hold on. Do you ever do the kind you boil in a pot and it takes longer to do? Or do you do like the straight up, easy bake style?
I just microwave it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It's the one with the flavors in it and all that.
No, it's, I add whatever flavor I want.
Yeah.
Like brown sugar or whatever.
Oh, I love brown sugar. So good. And you can, there's different flavors you can get.
There's different flavors that you can get.
Yeah.
So again, though, anything where you're having to, every ingredient that you have to add increases the chances that you're going to be like, screw it. I'm just going to eat a handful of cheese.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's what I do.
That's great. And so all this advice is great, but are you living up to that advice while you're on your own? Are you doing well, do you think?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Mostly, and again, it's because early in the week I went shopping. I set myself up for success.
Yeah. And that's what you want.
Yeah.
Has a different flavor.
All right.
Have good snacks on hand.
I have three files that all have the word flavor in.
It's like getting two bags of flavor in one.
There you go. Sorry, now they're done.
Yeah, so I always have my thing of almonds on hand. I always have I have the added difficulty of I work at home, so I can just walk up to the fridge or kitchen whenever I want. So.
Yeah. Were you going to say something, Brian? I heard you breathe.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. You were just hearing.
I thought you were going to say something.
Yeah. Oh, no. Sorry.
All right. Might have been Bill. All right, Bill. Well, that's great. Healthy bachelorism is what today's theme is.
That is correct.
That's great. And real quick, here's some other advice about migraines. Mm-hmm. Treadmill, push-ups, and weights don't kill it. I tried to do that thinking, you know what? I'm going to work out through it. I'm going to get some blood pumping. Let's open these veins the old-fashioned way, you know? Didn't really do it.
Weightlifting is really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus I imagine your breathing is going to be different when you're doing that sort of thing, so it's not going to be the deep kind of, you know.
Cleansing breaths.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that's all our hippie friends say. Take deep cleansing breaths.
Deep cleansing breaths.
Hey, by the way, Bill, real quick before we let you go, the idea of a cleanse, like a body cleanse where you drink a bunch of barium and poop it all out, does that actually do anything for you? Is there any good in that?
Yeah, that's total bullshit.
Really? Wow.
That's what I keep hearing. The consensus from all my skeptic friends is that it's complete crap. And that when someone says, oh, you got all those toxins, they can never tell you what the toxins are.
No, you have kidneys. Kidneys get rid of toxins. If you still have toxins in your body after your kidneys are done with them, then you will die.
Exactly.
It means your kidneys are broken and you're on dialysis. That's right. What that's all about. So that's stupid.
So that's a bunch of bunky hokey stuff then.
Oh, yeah.
Bunky hokey.
You play that on the weekends with your girlfriends.
A little bunky hokey.
A little bunky hokey. Actually, what is that like? Bunko. That's what I'm thinking of. I think a lot of people are very it feels like global warming arguments. When I talk to people about it, they get really defensive of their once a month, you know, citrus butt cleanse or whatever.
They put pads on their feet and they're like, oh, the toxins, they seep out of my feet. Look, when I pull this pad off, it's dirty with toxins. Like, no, your feet are dirty.
Yeah, your feet are gross,
you're
dude.
You're sweating in them. Yeah. Your socks get dirty. Your sock stays in the shoe all day. It shouldn't be getting dirty. No, it gets dirty because you sweat in it.
Does it bug you in 2013 that we have this snake oil salesman thing still happening in our lives? Like, I feel like it'll never end.
If you want a list of things that still bug me in 2013, let's start with smoking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now the e-cigarettes, people want to blow that in my face now, I've noticed.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, though when people, well, and I get it, like, that it's not actually smoke, but people in a public or like an interior place, right, where you can't smoke, but they're like, it's just an e-cigarette. It's like, yeah, but it looks like you're smoking.
Yeah, and speaking of toxins, you're still using one of your few organs that does remove stuff and then send it back out as unbreathable air. You're still blowing that on me.
Yeah,
well, I don't want that.
I don't know, but the secondhand smoke doesn't seem to be an issue with that. I actually don't mind the you know, seeing people smoking e-cigarettes around me because I don't feel like I'm getting any secondhand smoke or anything like that.
Well, there's some
I just think it looks dumb.
Well, there's
I'm smoking on a ballpoint pen with an LED at the end.
Some people are talking about the vapor being worse than they think. Like, some people are getting pneumonia from it or something. Or,
well, here's the thing about the e-cigarette thing that blows me away, right?
Yeah.
Now, I think people are starting to smoke just the e-cigarette thing. Like, they're not addicted to cigarettes, but they think it's cool because it lights up and it puffs out smoke. Now, those features are unnecessary to get the effect of you smoking, but they've incorporated them into the design.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, you can smell conspiracy here, and here's a good example. There's the conspiracy comes from this. Because they contain no e-cigarettes aren't subject to U.S. tobacco laws, which means they can be purchased without proof of age, especially online. This raises concerns that e-cigs may be particularly appealing and interesting to kids who may, which may encourage nicotine addiction later on. In other words, because it looks like a cigarette, plays like a cigarette, lights like a cigarette, like all this stuff. I guess they don't light, but whatever.
It's a quote unquote,
I hate the word gateway, but it's a gateway experience for young people who then graduate to real cigarettes because they soon realize that e-cigarettes are for lamers and only cool kids have the real cigarettes and that they're actually recreating the problem again and that the tobacco companies are sort of behind it. Now, that's what people claim. I'm not saying they are, but it's an interesting point that these things somehow have to be just like cigarettes with the same look and the same filter thing on the end, all these unnecessary, like, outward appearance things about the cigarette. Like, why does that have to be? Why can't they be shaped like a little whistle or something? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, but that's the point. I mean, when you see that, you know that they're not. It's not like, hey, here's a healthy alternative. It's like, hey, this is just like the real thing. Is really what they're selling,
right?
Mm-hmm. And it's the image of the cigarette in the mouth with the glowing ember and the puffing smoke. Like, that's what you sell it on, and that's why. And for some reason, people are like, that means that person's cool. But in my brain, it triggers this thing that says, that person's an idiot. Well, and they're not, yeah.
I think you're on the right track, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I've never smoked before. I'm going to keep it that way.
Yeah, so. Me too. I have no desire to try this. It's not like I was pining for an option that wasn't tobacco-based.
Right.
So it's not really
I sure wish that... I could start smoking. Really want to take that up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been doing this 30 years now. I think it's high time.
Start smoking. Put it off.
Those exactly. Kids look like they're having a real good time. Yeah.
People give me trouble with the whole, because I don't drink. They think that's what I should be doing now. It's like, no, now's the time. I'm like, no, I feel like I've got a record going here. Like, why would I want to break my record? The same with smoking. I don't really have a need or desire. It's not like I'm going to. There's nothing about me that says, oh, I cannot wait to finally smoke something.
Yeah.
I don't know why people want me to do that to help. I don't know what that means. And I'm sure we have e-cigarette smokers out there. If you want to defend your choice of habitual sucking, send us emails and tell us. That sounded worse than I meant it to sound. But yeah, there you go.
If you want to defend your terrible decisions.
Yeah. Then email
Let me know.
Defend them. It's fine. We'll be happy to talk about them on the show. All right, Bill Duran's got a lot of things going on, but my favorite thing right now is that prop that's in that freaking movie, dude. Oh, my gosh. Oh,
proximity, yeah.
Do you guys don't know this? So most people out there listening to my voice have probably seen the short film that took the internet by storm called Proximity. Yeah. And I don't want to give anything away about it, but it's a really great short form kind of dystopic slash story, kind of sci-fi bent story that I don't want to give away, but you need to see it. Search for Proximity. Mm-hmm. It's on YouTube. It's all over the place.
Yep.
But it turns out one of the key parts of the movie are these leg bracelets, these sci-fi electronic bracelets. And lo and behold, Bill Duran designed them for the freaking movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So,
and I did a behind the scenes video on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/punishedprops about so how I cool. built it. Yep. And the best part, you can hardly tell because I was in a moment of lucidity, but I was bedriddenly sick when I got a call from Ryan. He said, hey, can you build this like tomorrow? And I was like, sure, like stupid. I shouldn't have done it, but I did it. And I filmed myself doing it the whole time. I barely even remember doing it. I was so sick, but it got done and it got put in the film and I couldn't be happier.
This is when you had the flu between Dragon Con and something else. You had the, you were really sick.
BlizzCon. During your massive con.
Oh, that was so dumb. Yeah. Like 5 week convention extravaganza.
Yeah. With less than perfect sleep. You probably weren't eating great. Like all that stuff.
Yeah.
Don't be unhealthy like Bill, everybody, but do watch Proximity and check out his sweet ankle bracelets because it is rad.
Don't be like Bill.
Chinbeard on Twitter, punishedprops.com, and all over the place. Check him out.
Got it.
Bill, it's always good to talk. Let's do this again next week. What do you say?
Okay.
Oh, except we may not because Tuesday, I think we're not doing a show because that's Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
No, I should have said that before.
Sorry.
All right. Jury time.
Uh-oh.
With Justin Robert Young. Who I think is in Oakland kind of for good until the holidays are over.
Yeah, I imagine they probably the Go Games thing probably slows down right around this time of the year.
I would guess.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Justin, what's going on?
Hi, boys.
Hey, you're in Oakland, right?
Oaktown.
Are you in Oaktown, straight out of Compton for the remainder of the holidays? Is that the plan? Are you less busy with the Go Game stuff right now?
Oakland and Compton are about 7 hours away. But
Compton's a little closer to L.A.
Exactly.
So I've got California basically the way I have Canada.
Right.
Yeah. Let's just say we're more along the lines of you ordering a pizza in New Jersey than referring to Oakland and Compton in the same breath.
Okay. Well, Pizza Hut, it's not quite the same. Like, I know New York's known for their pizza. I don't think New Jersey is. But they are known for sending you as many personal pan pizzas as you want as long as you spend $14 or more.
Yes.
Justin, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program, and Tuesdays wouldn't be the same without it. So I saw on Twitter you wanted to be reminded to talk about a certain thing. I doubt you needed much reminding because you seem to be very interested in the topic. So fill people in, catch them up to speed as to what you're referring to and why it's an important thing to mention.
I didn't catch the beginning of the show, so you guys didn't mention this in
We did
in
not, on purpose, because I didn't want to
Okay.
I didn't want to step on your feet on this, because I think it's
interesting. This is a surprise to me, so I can't wait.
Yeah.
So yesterday morning I woke up and everybody was talking about this awesome short film that Shia LaBeouf made.
Is this the one where he's naked and having sex, or is that something else?
No, that's the Lars von Trier movie Nymphomaniac that's coming out this year.
Got it.
Which should really terrify everyone, because Lars von Trier is kind of like Larry Clark, like the guy who did Kids and Bully and stuff like that, where that's a dude who's making movies that you should really feel uneasy about.
Right, right. I do not like – I saw that kid – not Bully it was.
Yeah.
I did not – I have great regret about seeing that film. It left me with what's the word? I felt gross after I watched that movie.
Here's the funny thing about that movie. There's a lot of times, especially when you're from Florida, that you gotta like explain to people that a lot of the crazy parts of Florida aren't your part of Florida.
Yeah.
That part of Florida was my part of Florida. That's like right where you are.
That's
like
great.
There was everything. Like speaking of Pizza Huts, there was like, oh, that's my Pizza Hut.
Oh,
like
weird.
That shot it down there. Anyway, and the whole story took place down there. Anyway, the movie that Shia LaBeouf did was starred Jim Gaffigan, comedian that everybody loves, and was about a critic, about a film critic. Now, it had screened, I believe, at Sundance a couple years ago, but it had just made its way to the internet yesterday. It did not take long for people to realize that it was, at times, word for word, a translation from a comic by Steve Kloves, or Kloves, sorry, not Kloves, he of Ghost World fame.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
Indie comic guy.
Famed. Everyone loves him.
Loves. BuzzFeed gets in touch with that dude. That dude's like, yeah, by the way, this is theft. This is straight up theft. I didn't talk to him. This isn't a fan film as far as I know. Like, this dude is just trying to pass off my work as his work.
Ugh.
So he gets lit up. And by the way, Shia LaBeouf is not exactly, not exactly beloved. Especially in our circles, right? It's not like you could mention Shia LaBeouf and be like, hey, I love that guy's work, you know? Like, the narrative on it prior was like, hey, look, this guy whom we don't particularly like has done something of value. Until it turned into, nope, we were right all along. He's worthless, and we hate him.
Dang.
So he's getting lit up. He's getting absolutely torched. He goes and apologizes in like a four-tweet string.
This is LaBeouf, right?
LaBeouf. Mm-hmm. LaBeouf. LaBeouf.
Which is, by the way, French for the boof, by the way.
Yeah.
So glad you did that.
He goes ahead and apologizes, except for the fact that that apology apparently like is found somewhere on Wiki.
Oh, no.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
So he plagiarized his apology, too?
Yeah. I think, yes.
That's the best thing
although
ever.
I'm more willing to kind of forgive that because like 90% of what I say in life is quoted from somewhere else, you know, that I pass on without specifically like attributing. As Gandhi once said, you know,
right.
You just kind of
but
say stuff.
But you begin it with a, you know, with the, I'm saying that this is a quote versus I'm just going to come up with an apology and that's going to be my
yeah, I guess I'm more like I guess that I can understand more than like, hey, I'm gonna copy paste this script and then hand it off with my name on it, right? Because we quote things all the time. But I guess my larger point is this. And then after he tweeted the apology, and then after he got lit up for plagiarizing the apology, he just tweeted, "I effed up." And that was, I think, the last thing, the most recent thing on his Twitter, if you go to his Twitter, is just, I effed up.
So is it is it possible he had people doing that wiki part? Like, is it possible that he's not been involved with any of this to some maybe the film, obviously, because he's got his name attached to it. And I don't think you just nonchalantly make that because you were inspired by somebody else's work. It's obviously not just even derivative. It's full on, like, straight up stolen.
So, yeah.
So does this even... I don't feel like people are like, well, at least he came out and at least he, you know, at least he owned up to it. I'm like, no, this is a... I don't think that's enough here.
Okay. Well, and here's my point is I... Like, is him coming out and owning up to it, does that wipe away the transgression? No. Absolutely not. He is still a wiener penis for doing what he did. Like, and I don't want to get confused on my point here.
But, I just realized on Twitter you called him a weenus. Here yes. You called him a wiener penis. And just I had never occurred to me that weenus was short for wiener penis before. Wiener penis.
Just in case people didn't realize what the contraction meant, it is indeed wiener penis.
That is my favorite thing I've heard today. All right.
My larger point is that there is something to learn from that. There is something to learn from Shia LaBeouf in this moment. And that is that there are a lot of times, and not to get into, not to turn this into Therapy Tuesday.
Right.
But. There are a lot of times that I think we all get ourselves in spirals, be they lies or patterns of behavior, that you justify going deeper by saying that going, you know, owning up is too damaging, mm-hmm. right? That you can't do it. So he was obviously in a situation where at some point he makes the decision that he loves this comic. Right. Yeah. And at some point he makes a decision that he wants to do this movie. And at some point, you know, this is more theorizing, but at some point he says, well, the words that I would write are not as good as this other thing. Or I would like to do a fan film, but I don't know if I want to call it a fan film. And then it just sort of gets justified as, well, this is a script I wrote, you know, but I'm willing to say. I'm at least in my head, more willing to think that these were a series of shame-based decisions that turned into a big, larger mistake, as opposed to Shia LaBeouf saying, you know, sitting in his darkened castle as a, you know, lightning bolt streaked the sky and saying, well, I know what I'll do. I'll take all the credit.
Nobody will ever figure it out.
No, it's the perfect plan.
Yeah. Would it have? Here's a question, though. Would it have this kind of music behind it?
I know what that'll do.
Yeah,
it's me, Shia LaBeouf. So, I think that it was more along the lines of that. And if that's the case, and probably even more so if he were some mustache twirling villain, yeah. Even. A plagiarized admission of guilt is not digging yourself deeper.
Yeah.
Right. And I think the idea of breaking that was what struck me was that even if it's ugly, and it was ugly, and even if the point is not that you should get credit for it, right? The point is that it's cool that that happened as opposed to the other thing.
Yeah.
In that singular action, somebody. Who should be punished for a transgression, who has made a lot of mistakes, has now said, well, I made a lot of mistakes. And at least you can – I think that there is a good human lesson to the idea that it's always better to stop making the shame mistakes and to start walking yourself back up that path as long as that path might be.
Yeah.
And not to say that you're forgiven for anything. It's just I felt bad for him in that situation, and I felt that it was at least something. It's always like an example that it's always better to admit you effed up.
Yeah, even if it's I agree. Even if it's a four tweet. Somebody in the chat room said that's their favorite wrestling move. By the way, the four tweet LaBeouf.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And we also have this. We have this tendency online. We have really, as an overall body, especially kind of in the Twitterverse, as small and as insular as that may be, we've kind of reverted back to a time where we want to yell "crucify him" as loud as we can. And so what you have is a whole bunch of people who've done what you've said, made these kinds of mistakes in their life, no matter how in public or not in public they may have been.
Yeah.
And now that there's someone who is up there who clearly is in the spotlight, it is we love a show and we love to watch somebody burn for what they've done, despite the fact that all you're really doing is masking the fact that everybody in that audience yelling "crucify him" has got plenty of things to be crucified for. And it's a weird part of human psychology that I feel like is now amplified and in some ways a return to form for a lot of people, because now they have a voice. They now have a crowd to stand in and yell really stupid things and not get in trouble for it or not be held account for it or whatever. So as much as LaBeouf bugs me in lots of ways, and that's more just me as a critical movie watcher, I just don't like things he's in. I didn't mind him in iRobot. That was fine.
iRobot.
Yeah, iRobot.
iRobot.
Robot arms.
Robot arms.
but I didn't, I don't really like much else, and I don't know what it is. And I feel that way about a lot of actors, and hey, it's my prerogative as a viewer to kind of like or not like a performance or an affectation or a personality or whatever. But when it comes to stuff like this, it is easy for us to put him over a spit and just go for it because no one's looking at us. So if everyone's looking at him, then they're not looking at me.
Fair. He's a derpy actor.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's not a fantastic actor. He's not been in any movie that any of us in our sphere love.
Right.
Like, I guess the more interesting thing would be how would this play if it were Nathan Fillion?
Yeah.
Because
or any of these guys. Yeah.
What do we know about? Well, yeah, but let's stay with an actor, right? Okay. Somebody who's not known for writing.
I know you didn't mean that to sound that way, but that was great. Let's stay with somebody who isn't Wesley.
Shut up, Wesley.
Yeah. Who's not Wesley Crusher.
I thought you said Josh Wheaton.
Oh, no. Will Wheaton. Sorry.
Will. Yes.
But you can see the funny irony that came out of
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but Will Wheaton's better.
Yeah.
Because Will Wheaton is known more for he's a cool guy on the internet,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, as much as everybody loves The Next Generation, if you redid The Next Generation to be only about Wesley, I don't think it's as popular of a show.
No,
right?
nobody likes TNG for Wesley. In fact, before social media, back in the like Usenet days, everyone hated Will Wheaton. Like, he went through a period of utter public hatred just because he just happened to be Wesley Crusher, who everyone hated, and it was kind of a universal thing. It's not like that anymore, but let no man tear asunder the idea that it's not the Wesley character that made Will Wheaton who he is today on the internet. That is not the thing. It might be part of it, but it's not his saving grace. It's not the stuff people like about him. He wasn't good.
If real quick, they were, you know, he was supposed to, or he had done this movie, right? I don't feel like we hit him as hard.
Probably,
you know,
not,
there's more of a, like, oh, well, you know, maybe they're friends.
Like if Felicia Day, let's say Felicia Day,
who
we know and like, and she's great. Let's say she did the same thing. She took somebody's material, or we find out that the Guild the entire time was somebody else's web series or whatever. Mm-hmm. How much more or less crap would she get online? Right. I think a lot less crap. I think you're right. I think your theory is right.
By the way, we don't know anything about these people.
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea whether they're good or bad people. And you can say, well, I met him and I met her. And maybe I didn't meet Shia LaBeouf, right? And like, but like in the way that I think we would generally measure character, I don't feel like we know anyone.
Yeah.
Like, and to be fair, like, I don't know how much anybody listening knows us. I mean, like, I think the thing about podcasting is that at least you are putting yourself out there on such a regular basis that I think enough of your true character has to kind of shine through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I've met people in podcasting that are known for being very likable people.
Yeah.
Right? Not necessarily good human beings.
Yeah, yeah. You take them, the public persona and the
outside
private persona are different.
Sure, the performance.
And that's our thing. That's our new media shtick.
Or the other way around, by the way. The other way works, too. You know, people think Howard Stern is this sardonic, angry, whatever screw everybody, where's the live strippers kind of guy, or at least that's, you know, some of his history is that.
Yeah.
But it, by all accounts, not like that at all, really. Private dude, you know, focused on his wife, his kids. He's not...
Well, the new one,
right. I mean, they have issues, but you know what I mean. Like, that kind of stuff can kind of go both ways, and it's easy to get trapped into what you think their public and private persona is, and that they're the same, or that they're at all... expansive enough for you to even get a view as to who somebody is or what they're like. I'm repeating what you're saying in more words. I don't know why I'm doing that.
I feel bad for Shia.
Yeah.
And I don't like, I don't know. I guess that it was just one of those things where it's like, not to say that it's not a thing, not to say that it's not really, really bad. And he deserves to have that recognized, that it's terrible and that movie is tainted. And, you know, it is up to the person for whom he ripped off to judge whether or not he is forgiven.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, here's what he said when he found out that he was caught. This is a quote from Shia LaBeouf, everybody. First here on TMS. You won't hear it anywhere else. His reaction to finding out he had plagiarized something.
No.
It sounds like a lot of different scenes of him, but he's really just saying no into a camera.
No.
Yeah, anyway, so that's you heard it here first.
Funny thing about iRobot, you mentioned iRobot.
Yeah.
Last time I was in South Florida, I went to go see the amazing Randy, who I used to work for. I was an intern for his James Randi Educational Foundation. He is like just a font of old showbiz stories. Like, dude knew everyone. He was friends with Carson. He was friends with all these awesome sci-fi writers, including Isaac Asimov. And so at some point, iRobot the movie comes up, and Randy says, "It's a good thing Isaac was dead before that one came out."
Yeah, basically.
Because he would not have been pleased.
Yeah, this is just a recent example of the exact same freaking thing. And it goes on in I don't know why entertainment's particularly, it's such a creative endeavor, but why it's so under the microscope when it comes to original work. And there's always something like Avatar will come out. 15 yeah. lawsuits that was my story. Mm-hmm. I had lunch with Jim Cameron once and wrote it on a napkin, and now he stole it.
Yeah.
It seems susceptible to that.
The writer of
Fern Gully. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Right. The Fern Gully people are all worked up. Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing's pretty weird, but do you think we get to a point where, because here's what I think about Shia LaBeouf. Right now he's in Miley Cyrus mode, which is that mode of, all right, no one's taking me seriously. And those who, you know, it's because of they're sick of the Transformer movies, or I was in a bunch of kids stuff, or I was in Nickelodeon for a long time.
By all accounts, he's sick of the Transformers movies. Remember, he's the one who bowed out of them.
Oh, yeah, he wants out. And that's my point. He wants...
And he did. Yeah, so I guess the new one's not going
to
have minutes.
So what does he do? He goes to the furthest length possible by being in a Von Trier movie.
Yep.
And it's so edgy that it's LaBeouf doing the deed on screen for real. You don't get much more, like, legitimate... art porn than that.
I don't know if that's the case, if he's actually banging on screen.
Well, they all claim it, and so does he. And so, in other words, he's trying to design himself as, look, here's an edgy guy who will blow all your minds, just like Miley Cyrus is sort of doing the same thing in music. I wish they'd all just calm down, because at the end of the day, none of this will work. What will work is good work. Mm-hmm. That's it, and that takes time.
Right, exactly. It's a matter. It's the big splash versus the long game, the building over time kind of thing.
Yeah, you want to be Ron Howard? Be Ron Howard. You want Blizzard Entertainment money? Hear that, Twitch? Talking about video games here for a second.
I noticed this. Is this a new thing?
It is.
Are you guys responding to a Twitch?
Well, I do a bunch of shows on Twitch that are very video game focused, so those aren't a big deal, and it's all good. But Brian got booted from Twitch because Coverville is Coverville and TMS as a combined effort are not video game enough for them. And it happened the weekend that all those PS4 people got banned for like being naked and getting drunk and all that. Mm-hmm. And I think he just, I honestly, I feel like Brian was collateral damage in that particular crackdown. Mm-hmm. He just yeah. It was like you just happened to be in the
is
in
it
the
just
building.
Like if you were flagged, then you got sacked.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he was like in the building when Judge Dredd came. It just happened to be bad timing.
Just happened. I wasn't dealing the drugs. Right. I just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right. So yeah. Every once in a while, I just mention it.
Judge.
I just like to mention it. You know, just keep ourselves clean. But my point is, you know, you chase after that success, but you're not willing to do the things that it takes, and the quicker way isn't always the better way. And I understand some of them feel like they have a limited window of opportunity. I totally get that. And I know
let me posit this theory here for you, though. I would say that Miley Cyrus is further along the way to succeeding in that plan than Shia LaBeouf is, because no one's going to see. I mean, like, this controversy is blown up on Twitter, right? Yeah, like, yeah. It's not exactly... You know, it's not on the Today Show, right? The Nymphomaniac movie is going to come and go, and film buffs are going to care about it because they care about Von Trier, and maybe people will kind of hear about it. If there's some, like, insanely shocking scene that breaks through the mainstream that involves him, maybe it'll get attention. Mm-hmm. But by all likelihood, it probably won't.
Right.
Miley Cyrus has two gigantic singles off that album and a live performance for which everybody will mention, and every time that they have that MTV Video Music Awards, right?
Yeah.
Now, as much as we might look at that now and say, oh, God, this lady doing things for attention, the one thing that will always endure is that if people are having a good time while you are doing your art, you will be attached to that nostalgia. Mm. And that nostalgia lasts forever. And now all of a sudden, everybody who's like, oh, this is embarrassing what she's doing in 5 years. And this would, you know, really depend on whether or not she is able to do other stuff past this. Right. But like the first step is done. That turns into pop icon.
Yeah.
Pop legend.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If she has another album that has another couple hit singles, this is the playbook that Madonna had. You know,
yeah, same thing.
It doesn't have to be what everybody likes. It just has to be popular.
Yeah.
If it's pop, if she has three albums with two hit singles on it, she is as big as, you know, Katy Perry is now, and everybody thinks that Katy Perry is, you know, more of a legitimate artist now than it was when it's like, what, the song about kissing girls?
Well,
ridiculous.
Right, but see, this is the difference. Both these examples that you've just given me, Miley Cyrus and Katy Perry, they both,
yeah.
And I've maintained this since the beginning, the reason that she will possibly maybe endure is because she actually is talented. She can sing. She can do the thing that she's up there to do. You soup it up with all this other crap, but in the end, she can belt it out. She can sing, and she has talent for it. And these songs aren't just crap. They're good. You know, they're poppy, and they're top 40, and they're all that. But they're good. She's performing, and it's good. So, yes, she's further along that way, because I don't feel like LaBeouf is doing anything that's good. It's not good. It's okay. It's getting you by, but he's not like... there's nothing about his performance that I would put above anybody else out there working. So then you got to survive on controversy. And I'm saying, which would you rather have?
On the grand scale of actors, though, not terrible.
No. No, they're worse. They're worse dudes working.
He's a fairly charismatic guy.
Yeah. There are worse guys. There are worse guys working. No question about that. Mm-hmm.
You put him in a Wes Anderson movie, right? Yeah. As like third lead. I feel like he does really well.
Really?
Yeah.
I suddenly don't want to see that Wes Anderson movie.
You would. Everyone would. I would. And you would be like, who wasn't terrible? Shia LaBeouf as the wacky bellhop who fell over the bags.
In the Wes Anderson classic, Day at the Hotel. Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe. I'm not saying, look, I'm willing to go, you know, we're all accepting Justin Timberlake, you know, ex-NSYNC guy.
Exactly.
Well, why, though? Because he's good at it.
But what if he was good at it all along?
There's a reason Lance Bass isn't in there, because he's not good at it.
But even while we were saying he was terrible and trash and please go away, you're just a boy band guy, what if he was always good Because I'm like, we're not assuming that they got talented as we like them, right?
Right.
We are assuming that they were always that good.
Well, look at the Olsen girls. You got the twins who kind of suck. They're not good. They've done things and you go, ooh, these are bad. These were babies when they were actors. They're not good as adults. So why are we doing this? Then their sister comes along. I forgot her name. Ashley Olsen, is it? No.
Is it?
Whatever. The one that's in that new...
Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. Yes.
Well, who's the other one, though? The younger one. No. There's a sister who's not a twin.
Oh.
Yeah.
She's in movies a bunch now, and she's highly regarded, and everyone thinks she's amazing. Like
Martha May, Mary, like a 4M name movie.
Yeah, exactly. And she's in a bunch of movies recently and is critically acclaimed, and she's not playing on her sister's popularity at all, her two other sisters. She's straight up just acting and working hard. And you sense it. You feel it as different. You feel it as not playing off of your Full House fame.
Well, sure. But also, I mean, like, those two, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, had, I mean, how hard would you work at anything if you had all the money you would ever need in your life before the age of 10?
Yeah, good point.
And it wasn't like your parents' money.
Yeah.
It was your money.
Yeah.
Money that was made off your fame, you know? Like, how much would you listen to anybody? Because I wouldn't listen to anybody.
That was Stamos money, what that was.
I mean, listen, you can't say that he didn't help, but also Stamos wasn't out there hawking those Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, you know, solve the art thief with the art heist at the Louvre.
I forgot they made a bunch of those.
Horrible. That's where the money came from.
Yeah.
The money didn't come from Full House. Yeah. The money came from, you know, those like let's have a sleepover with Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen videos. Because once you get into those, like that's licensed to print cash.
Yeah. But their sister, like, she was on The Daily Show the other day, and she just comes off as so together, so with it, so down to earth, so ready for the next challenging role, so not being asked to take her top off every time she's in a movie, like, just kind of is writing her own ticket because she's writing on the quality of her work. That it's a tangible thing that's hard to always spot, and I never feel like when I'm watching The Boof, and again, he may surprise me one day, but I'm never going, oh, yeah, look at him. Look at him doing this. I just don't feel the same. And I can't explain it. Could be just me. Maybe I'm dead wrong. Maybe he's going to blow our minds one day. He's Laurence Olivier in protozoic form.
I'm saying that. I mean, like, if anything, you'd be saying that he's a decent movie star. Because that's what that's the mold in which he wants to be. Yeah. Is just a guy for whom you care about while he's the detective that, you know, solves the case wherein the entire freeway in Miami blows up, right?
Yes, that's the one. That's, like that it sounds familiar. Is that an actual thing he was in?
No.
Okay, it sounds familiar to me for some reason. It's
Bad Boys.
Okay. That's why. All right. Yeah.
Although that God, you want the internet to blow up? Redo Bad Boys with two white actors. Although, by the way, you know it was written for that. You know who the original two actors for Bad Boys?
No.
And I might get this wrong, but I know one of them is definitely right.
Before Will Smith and before Martin Lawrence. Who?
Yeah.
John Lovitz and Dana Carvey.
I'm in.
No way. Really?
I'm totally in.
Oh my God.
You had me at John Lovitz. I'd watch that in a heartbeat.
Exactly. Yeah. Dana Carvey is Mike Lowry.
Wow.
Wow.
still with Michael Bay directing? Was that the plan?
No. Yeah. And then I forget how it wound up coming about, but like Will Smith wanted to do it and he was really big at the time. And they were like, all right, well then let's rewrite this. And if it's going to be one black cop, it should be two black cops.
Yeah, of course it should be. Cause that makes perfect sense to me. Got to have two black cops. Brilliant. Well, there you go. There's some history for you. I didn't know that. Yeah. I feel better
that's
for
it. Probably
it.
Not. It's probably also not true. I know that I'm pretty sure that John Lovitz was one of them. I think Dana Carvey's the other one. If someone wants to correct me, hit me up on Twitter. Otherwise, here's what I want to do on Twitter. Here's a fun little TMS homework experiment.
Oh, wow.
The best Shia LaBeouf movie.
Okay.
Because I would say my Holes. Guess would be Suburbia, what people would say.
I'd say Holes.
Holes is a good choice, yeah.
Yeah, I liked Holes. Holes was good.
Nice work. Can I get that one isolated out?
It had Sigourney Weaver in it. Yes. So that's goes up a few points.
What's his face with three names from Oh Brother Where Art Thou?
Oh,
Tim Blake Nelson.
Tim Blake Nelson. Yeah, yeah. I love him too.
He's always awesome.
Yeah.
There was actually, I've always kind of liked, or I've always like enjoyed Shia LaBeouf, because there was one when the Jimmy Kimmel show was new. Remember when they used to do co-hosts for the week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Zach Galifianakis was the co-host for the week, and Shia LaBeouf was on there as a very, very nervous, you know, 13 or 14 year old promoting Holes. And it was a very funny segment. I remember very much enjoying the interplay between a nervous, giggly Shia LaBeouf and a Zach Galifianakis in full Galifianakian sense.
I like the full when he goes full Galifianakian.
Yeah, so
here's a question while they do that homework. All right. So they go, they tell you your favorite movie on Twitter. Justin R. Young on Twitter.
Shia LaBeouf movie.
Shia LaBeouf movie.
I'm curious to see what people say would be the best one. So I don't think it's, I think it's pretty slim pickings, but I don't know if I'm missing something.
I will tack onto that some extra credit, which is this. In 5 years, I think it's a good note to end on. In 5 years, where is Shia LaBeouf? Is he an international, enormous box office draw movie star, Brad Pitt level business? Or is he slipped off into mediocrity and directed DVD? That's what I want to know. That's what I want to know. That's what the people want to know.
I mean, number one, that's like you are definitely putting money on a horse, because I mean, no matter what, like every actor kind of gets to that. Dude, Edward Norton's doing cell phone commercials.
Right.
Yeah.
Saw that one coming.
Yeah.
That's that a dude good point. Was like, this is like, you know, this you at a certain point with Edward Norton, you're like, we're talking about greatest living American actor. Like you wouldn't be crazy to put him in that conversation. And now he's yelling at a Russian guy about ferrets in the cell phone commercial.
Playing Connect Four on a poker table.
Yeah.
And yeah, don't give me this like, oh, it's well-directed stuff. No, man, he's doing a cell phone commercial.
He's kind of all over the place, too. Like, he'll show up in Modern Family one day, and then the next week he's filming something called the Grand Budapest Hotel. And then, you know, he's on The Simpsons, and then he's doing something called Birdman, which no one's heard of. And, yeah, he's...
Isn't that great, last year, that great Wes Anderson camping film?
Oh, Moonrise Kingdom, yeah.
Moonrise Kingdom, yeah.
Which I still haven't seen. Gosh dang it, I want to watch that.
Oh, it's excellent.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's so good.
Yeah,
although to go back to our Larry Clark, kind of inappropriate in how you shoot these kids. Like I there is nobody who's a bigger Wes Anderson fan than I am.
Yeah,
you agree with me, Cooper? but like, there's some lingering camera shots on a very pretty young actress, but lingering,
just pushing it a little.
I'm not going to go out and say it goes, you know, full Clark or Polanski, but it made me a little uncomfortable.
All right. So I also felt this way during the Fantastic Mr. Fox, just a little too much focus on the furries, if you know what I'm saying.
Exactly.
A little too much furry in there.
A little too much shot of the beaver.
Yeah.
Yes, ring ding deedly doo.
Who played that beaver? Because that wasn't Bill Murray. No, Bill Murray played the Badger. Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that movie.
By the way, speaking of that nice beaver, the Naked Gun's getting remade.
Oh, what?
What?
Shut
no,
up.
No, they can't. Yeah.
Oh, who's going to be in it? Who's the man?
Ed Helms in the Leslie Nielsen role.
Oh.
And the script from, I believe it's Ben Garrott and Thomas Lennon, who did... You know, 911 and The State, one of my favorite sketch comedy shows ever.
I do love them. Yeah.
They are also famous for writing like every crappy movie ever, for which they wrote a book called like How to Write Scripts for Fun and Profit, where they basically talked about like how to get a log line from a studio, write the exact tripe they want, and have it make money at the box office.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how I feel about any of this. I don't know if I even like Ed Helms in that role. That weirds me out. I like Ed Helms okay.
I don't know. I mean, if there's anybody who can do it, Ed Helms would be somebody I think who could pull it off.
To me, this is like I don't know. This is in the same territory as remaking Get Smart with
Steve Carell, or Pink Panther with Steve Martin.
Steve Martin, yeah. That's kind of
the
just
only thing
risky
that you
stuff.
Would say about Naked Gun though is that. That movie was all gags, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you can write gags, I feel like you could do a decent Naked Gun.
Well, it's that, and there is a lot of credit you've got to give to Leslie Nielsen's timing and his facial expressions, things like that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, you need everybody to sell it, right?
Yeah,
but it's like, there's a lot of stuff like, you know, the floating chalk line in the bay, you know, or like Nordberg getting thrown, you know, from a bed in catapult fashion, right?
Yeah, you got to remember, like, the original one was the airplane people and the top secret Zucker people.
Yeah, the Zucker brothers.
And so if they're not doing it, there's a very sad line of trying to be like that movies that were like the Scary Movie series.
Yeah. By the way, you want to know who's been trying to be like the Zucker brothers and failing for about two decades?
Who?
The Zucker brothers.
So give me a recent example. What are they doing that
like
sucks?
Scary Movie 4.
Oh, that was them?
Yeah.
That's why it had Lizzie Nielsen in it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. David Zucker, hold on. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Scary Movie 5. Superhero Movie. You're right. Damn it. I didn't realize that those guys were all up into that.
No. Listen, comedy is like, it's fleeting, man. Yeah. It's not there forever. Yeah. You got to strike when the iron's hot.
I guess so. Those movies were a very special part of their time, I think.
Oh, my God. No, they're amazing. And Airplane was one of those, was a huge movie, and Naked Gun too, but like Airplane, I made my mom rent Airplane from a San Diego Blockbuster so often that she just wound up buying it. Like, not because she's like, I asked her if she could buy it for me, and she's like, no, it's not appropriate. And then I just made her rent it over and over and over again. She's like, fine, you've beat me. Yeah. I'll buy it for you.
Yeah. I still laugh hysterically when the shit hits the fan in that movie. I don't know why. I'm the lowest common denominator. It just makes me laugh.
No, yeah. That and Leon's getting larger. Leon's getting larger. Yeah. Maybe one of my favorite
getting
gags.
Thicker. And Leon's getting larger.
Shaking him. Let's go watch Airplane. All right. Justin Robert Young, Man About Town. What's going on? Anything we should tell people about before we let you go?
Yeah, listen, we are rapidly. Speaking of that that song about commercialism on Christmas that you guys played earlier, we are closing in on the window for which the Go Home Santa are.
Go Home Santa, you've been cut off by Skype.
Skype? Yeah, we lost him, didn't we? I bet he got a phone call. Are you there?
Yeah, sorry. I got one of those. One of them, their phone calls.
Ah, interrupted. Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me. Sorry.
Yes. So yeah, Go Home Santa, you're drunk. Go ahead and buy it. GoHomeSanta.com. Justin R. Young on Twitter. Big Christmas ep of NSFW show tonight.
Yeah.
At 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
Excitement.
On the Twit Network.
Excitement. And I'll say this, even though we haven't talked about it formally, but I won't see it till Christmas Day, but I think that we probably owe the people a current state of the Hobbit films spoiler cast.
Yeah, I got to go check out. There's a lot of movies I want to go see, but yeah, I will definitely go see the Smaug's bachelor pad.
the reuniting of Cumberbatch and the other dude.
It's where Smaug McDuck has his three nephews, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and he slides around in his treasure and gets into adventures.
Yeah, Smaug McDuck. That's right.
Yeah.
Don't forget, everybody, Justin's everywhere, and Twitter's the best place to find out.
By the way, Benedict Cumberbatch as Scrooge McDuck, I'm in.
Oh, totally in. Like live action? Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Perfect.
All right, all done. See you, man. Have a good one.
Bye.
All right.
See you.
That's funny. I like that idea a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, thus concludes our broadcast day.
Probably one of our longest shows ever, right?
Yeah, 10:15. We have gone long. We're like a Hail Mary at the end of the game here. That's okay. I enjoyed every damn minute of it.
Yes.
I'd like to thank you all for being here. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have some guests as well. Tom Merritt, Nicole Spag, and more. Possibly Geek Food Ladies, although I heard there was something going on there. I'll find out about that. In the meantime, please support us. Go to places that we go, frogpants.com/TMS. Links to everything are there. If you'd like to email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. On Twitter, we are at Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Should we go now? What do you? We should probably have music.
Maybe let's do a song before we go. Can we?
Oh, we've never done that before, though. I don't even know. Can we handle
great
it?
Great tradition. This one's going out to Trivially Travis in the Tadpool. See him in there all the time. Mm. It says, Scott and Brian, this isn't a Christmas request per se, but the song is associated with a stunning Christmas animation that was done for a John Lewis ad called The Bear and the Hare. You can do a search online and find a video of the animation. It's a cover of the Keane song Somewhere Only We Know by Britt, who's just releasing a new single in the last couple of weeks by Lily Allen. I think the combination of her voice and the piano in this song is absolutely beautiful, and I thought the TMS listeners might like to hear it. Happy holidays to you both and to your families, and love the show though.
Theon Greyjoy's sister, by the way.
Right, yep. Yes. Yep. She with the third nipple.
Yep.
She does. She has a tertiary nipple.
Let that be on her gravestone. She
it's on Google Images. I don't know about it on a gravestone.
Where does she have it? Where is it located?
It's on her breast.
Oh.
It's right next to her second nipple.
Well, that's no fun.
Or first nipple if you're counting left or right.
Yeah. Right. Remember the dude that had a nipple on his foot? You remember that? On the heel?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine that. Oh, man. Got to wear special shoes for that.
Rough stuff.
Bra shoes.
Anyway, this song you can buy on iTunes and Amazon. It's Somewhere Only We Know. Definitely going to be in the top 40 Coverville countdown for 2013's best covers. A lot of great suggestions and nominations, by the way. And I'll have information on that tomorrow if we're going to do votes or if we're just going to put the damn show together since it's going to be in about a week. Here is Lily Allen with Somewhere Only We Know.
Somewhere We'll Be Tomorrow is here. Be here. 8 o'clock a.m. Mountain Time Zone. When the only time zone that matters, we'll have another TMS. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll talk to you then.
So why don't we somewhere only we know.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
I just had brain fart.